Good morning. I'll start, as we often do here at the Department of War, with the bottom line up front, for the world to hear and the press to actually admit that the United States is decimating the radical Iranian regime's military in a way the world has never seen before. Never before has a modern, capable military, which Iran used to have, been so quickly destroyed and made combat ineffective, devastated. We said it would not be a fair fight, and it has not been. As I stated during our first press conference on day two, that was 10 short days ago, the combination of the world's two most powerful air forces is unprecedented and unbeatable. Between our air force and that of the Israelis, over 15,000 enemy targets have been struck. That's well over 1,000 a day. No other combination of countries in the world can do that. So today, as we speak, we fly over the top of Iran and Tehran. Fighters and bombers all day picking targets as they choose. As our intelligence gets better and better and more refined. Looking up, the IRGC and Iranian regime sees only two things on the side of aircraft: the Stars and Stripes and the Star of David. The evil regime's worst nightmare. Iran has no air defenses. Iran has no air force. Iran has no navy. Their missiles, their missile launchers and drones being destroyed or shot out of the sky. Their missile volume is down 90%. Their one-way attack drones yesterday, down 95%. And as the world is seeing, they are exercising sheer desperation in the Straits of Hormuz. Something we're dealing with, we have been dealing with it, and don't need to worry about it. We're on plan to defeat, destroy, disable all of their meaningful military capabilities at a pace the world has never seen before. But it's not just that Iran doesn't have a functioning air force, or that their entire navy is at the bottom of the Persian Gulf, or their missile force is shrinking daily. Even more importantly, they also don't have the ability to build more. That's the most important component I'd like to emphasize today. Soon and very soon, all of Iran's defense companies will be destroyed. For example, as of 2 days ago, Iran's entire ballistic missile production capacity, every company that builds every component of those missiles, has been functionally defeated, destroyed. Buildings, complexes, and factory lines all across Iran destroyed. So we're shooting down and destroying what missiles they still have in stock, but more importantly, ensuring that they have no ability to make more. Their production lines, their military plants, their defense innovation centers, defeated. Iran's leadership is in no better shape. Desperate and hiding, they've gone underground, cowering. That's what rats do. We know the new so-called not-so-supreme leader is wounded and likely disfigured. He put out a statement yesterday, a weak one, actually, but there was no voice and there was no video. It was a written statement. He called for unity. Apparently killing tens of thousands of protesters is his kind of unity. Iran has plenty of cameras and plenty of voice recorders. Why a written statement? I think you know why. His father, dead. He's scared. He's injured. He's on the run, and he lacks legitimacy. It's a mess for them. Who's in charge? Iran may not even know. With every passing hour, we know, and we know they know, that the military capabilities of their evil regime are crumbling. They can barely communicate, let alone coordinate. They're confused, and we know it. Our response? We will keep pressing. We will keep pushing, keep advancing. No quarter, no mercy for our enemies. Yet some in this crew, in the press, just can't stop. Allow me to make a few suggestions. People look up at the TV and they see banners, they see headlines.
I am making this historic announcement on Friday, December 12, 2025. The future of InfoWars hangs in the balance. It is in your hands. They're having a state auction in January next year in about a month, but we don't even have the money for payroll or for satellites or for bandwidth. We've got this next shot to survive, but if we don't get the funds in, we shut down. So we're selling three emergency limited edition posters at InfoWarsStore.com right now that are critical to us staying on the air. I want to encourage you to go now to get I Have Not Yet Begun to Fight, John Paul Jones poster, and two others, Make No Peace with Evil and Defend the West, Iconic Crusades. Go now to InfoWarsStore.com to get one or more of these iconic posters, limited edition. We cannot do it without you. I have fired the bat signal. Take action now if you want to stand with us in this fight at InfoWarsStore.com, and I salute you for your support.
People look up at the TV and they see banners, they see headlines. I used to be in that business, and I know that everything is written intentionally. For example, a banner or a headline, Mideast War Intensifies, splashing on the screen the last couple of days, alongside visuals of civilian or energy targets that Iran has hit, because that's what they do. What should the banner read instead? How about Iran increasingly desperate? Because they are. They know it, and so do you, if it can be admitted. Or more fake news from CNN. Reports that the Trump administration underestimated the Iran war's impact on the Strait of Hormuz. Patently ridiculous, of course. For decades, Iran has threatened shipping in the Strait of Hormuz. This is always what they do, hold the Strait hostage. CNN doesn't think we thought of that. It's a fundamentally unserious report. The sooner David Ellison takes over that network, the better. Another example of a fake headline that I saw yesterday. War widening. Here's a real headline for you for an actual patriotic press. How about Iran shrinking, going underground? So you see, Iran's leaders are hiding in bunkers and moving into civilian areas. The only thing that is widening is our advantage. Not to mention our Gulf partners stepping up even more, now going on the offense, and have always been with us on the defense with collective and integrated air defenses. Our will, it is unshakable. Our options, maximized. And our capabilities, still building. We're going up, they're going down. As I said from the start, President Trump holds the cards. He'll determine the pace, the tempo, and the timing of this conflict. His hand firmly on the wheel, as well as on the throttle setting. America first, peace through strength, in action. From day one, as our nation expects and the president demands, our warriors have fought with lethality, precision, and rapid innovation. In fact, today will be, yet again, the highest volume of strikes that America has put over the skies of Iran and Tehran. The number of sorties and number of bomber pulses, the highest yet, ramping up and only up. And quantity has a quality of its own. As we continue to ramp up, every tool of AI, of cyber, of space, EW, counter UAS, you name it, we're employing it. Blinding, confusing, and deceiving our enemy. Because we know who the good guys are here. And the American people do too. And that makes my job simple. I serve God, the troops, the country, the Constitution, and the President of the United States, and answer only to those. All in service of victory on the battlefield and the military objectives that we've laid out from day one. Defeat the missiles, missile launchers, and defense industrial base, which I laid out today. Defeat the Navy and deny Iran the ability to have a nuclear weapon. Clear, decisive, achievable. And Admiral Cooper knows, the CENTCOM commander who we spent a couple of hours with last night, that in pursuit of those objectives, we have his back in every way. His commanders know that, and so do the troops in harm's way. Admiral Cooper gets what he needs, the assets, the authorities, the munitions, you name it. We will stop at nothing to win. War is hell. War is chaos. And as we saw yesterday with the tragic crash of our KC-135 tanker, bad things can happen. American heroes, all of them. And as I have with all of them, as we have, we will greet those heroes at Dover, and their sacrifice will only recommit us to the resolve of this mission. But war in this context and in pursuit of peace is necessary, which is why each day on bended knee, we continue to appeal to heaven, to Almighty God's providence, to watch over and give special skill and confidence to our leaders and to our warriors. To those warriors who this nation prays for every single day, I hear from all of you out there who pray for them every day. Stay on bended knee and pray for them. I continue to say to them, Godspeed. May the Lord bless you and keep you and keep going. Mr. Chairman, over to you.
Thank you, Mr. Secretary, and good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for joining us today. Before I start with an update, I also want to address the tragic loss of our KC-135 refueling aircraft yesterday. The incident occurred over friendly territory in western Iraq while the crew was on a combat mission, and again, was not the result, as CENTCOM has said, was not the result of hostile or friendly fire. We're still treating this as an active rescue and recovery operation. As CENTCOM announced this morning, four airmen have been recovered, and the Air Force and U.S. Central Command will provide updates as information becomes available. Please keep these brave airmen, their families, friends, and units in your thoughts in the coming hours and days. Our service members make an incredible sacrifice to go forward and do the things that the nation asks of them. It's a reminder of the true cost of the dedication and commitment of the Joint Force. We're also aware of a fire on board the USS Gerald R. Ford. We're thinking about the crew there who were injured in the fire. We believe and hope that everyone will be okay, and we're grateful for that. And for any further questions on that, we'd refer you to NAVCENT or to the Navy. This morning, we enter the 13th day of Operation Epic Fury, and we continue to make progress towards our military objectives. As the Secretary said, today will be our heaviest day of kinetic fires across the operating area. CENTCOM continues to attack ballistic missile and drone capabilities so that they are no longer a threat to U.S. forces, our bases, or our partners. They're continuing to destroy the Iranian Navy to ensure freedom of navigation, and this means going after Iran's mine-laying capability and destroying their ability to attack commercial vessels. And we're targeting their defense industrial base so they cannot rebuild the capabilities that can harm America's interests or our partners in the future. As Admiral Cooper said in his update on Wednesday, Iranian combat power continues to decline as a result of the continued strikes, as the Secretary talked about. We've attacked over 6,000 targets, and our strike packages continue to launch every hour, and we've maintained an unprecedented number of sorties up overhead of Iran. CENTCOM is now persistently over the enemy, and as a result, we've seen a reduction in missile and one-way attack fires, as the Secretary said. In less than 2 weeks, we've rendered the Iranian Navy combat ineffective and continue to attack naval vessels, including all of their Soleimani-class warships, which were armed with anti-ship missiles and anti-aircraft weapons. We've made progress, but Iran still has the capability to harm friendly forces and commercial shipping, and our work on this effort continues. But I want to make something clear. The only thing preventing commercial traffic and flow through the straits right now, which there is some through the straits, is Iran. They are the belligerents here holding the straits closed, although there is some traffic moving through there. We've made it a priority to target Iran's mine-laying enterprise, their mine layers, the naval bases and depots, in addition to the missiles that could influence the straits. And CENTCOM continues to attack those efforts. And we continue to make progress on the industrial base to include factories, weapons, warehouses that are stored in. And we will continue to do so in the coming days, especially today. Now, as I often do, I want to share a little bit about our incredible joint force. Today, I'm going to talk about our incredible artillery force comprised of American soldiers and Marines who've been sinking ships, destroying depots, and launching Army Tactical Missile Systems, or ATACMS, precision strike missiles, or PRISMs, and high-mobility rocket systems, or HIMARS. From outside Iran, our Army and Marine artillerymen are hitting sites that Iran relies on to project power beyond their borders and protect our deployed. In just the first 13 days of this operation, our artillery forces have made history. They fired the first precision strike missiles ever used in combat, reaching deep into enemy territory. They've used Army ATACMs to sink multiple ships, including a submarine. And they've done all of this with the precision and determination that comes from relentless training and trust in each other and in their weapon systems. Yesterday, I had the incredible honor and privilege of speaking with some of our young soldiers from the 3rd Battalion, 27th Field Artillery Regiment out of Fort Bragg, North Carolina, the unit and the crew that fired the first precision strike missiles. The soldiers I met came from all over this great country, New York, Texas, Delaware, California. One had been in the Army only 6 months and been in the unit for 2 months and was already deployed. He was the youngest at 20, but you would not know it from the way that they talked about their mission. The others were 22 and 28 years old. They spoke with a sense of calm pride, purpose, and clarity that tells you clearly they understand the weight of what they're doing and the people who depend on them. I asked them to walk me through a fire mission. I asked not just what they do, but what they feel, especially those first crew members on this particular mission. These soldiers basically live in these vehicles behind us, the cab very tight. Two folks sit next to each other with the crew commander behind them. It's jammed inside there with their personal weapons and kit. And they sit and wait for a fire mission. And when that fire mission comes, they close the armored doors and begin to program the systems. They then throw three simple toggle switches, and 10 to 15 feet behind them, a rocket motor ignites and the round is headed downrange to do the nation's work. I asked these youngsters, these young, awesome Americans, what does that feel like? And one of them just looked at me and said, it's awesome. No drama, no hesitation. In the middle of the day, in the middle of the night, in the sun, the rain, in the snow, flawless execution. Their Marine counterparts are out there doing the same thing every night. Same work, same pressure, same expectations, same results. And we hand tremendous and enormous responsibility to these young Americans, and they carry it with a level of maturity, grit, professionalism, and tenacity that makes me incredibly proud to be a part of their joint force. Their parents and families would and should be incredibly proud, and their leaders and I trust them to do the deeds that they must do in difficult circumstances every single time. I also want to touch today a moment. I want to touch for a moment today on their leadership. These young Americans are led by extraordinary young leaders out at the tactical edge. Yesterday, the battery commander and her NCO were there with this crew on the same video screen. The two of them hardly said a word. They didn't have to. In their eyes, and in particular, the commander's eyes, you could see the quiet trust and confidence she had in these soldiers and the rest of their battery. It came through loud and clear, and we appreciate their leadership. When I asked these soldiers yesterday, what is it that you need from the secretary and I, they looked at each other, paused for a moment, and looked back at me and said, more rounds, sir. It was awesome. So thank you to those soldiers and Marines out on the firing line supporting our mission, and thank you to their families. Our joint force will continue today to deliver dynamic fires against the enemy from the land, sea, and air. We remain deeply grateful for their service. And for the third time today, I'll mention that today will be our busiest day. This mission remains complex, dangerous, and difficult, and every service member has a family waiting for them to return home. And I want to thank all of the families today who are supporting their deployed forces and those doing the work here in the States. On a personal note today, I also want to thank the joint staff and the team that I have the pleasure of working with, some of them right here in this room. They are working 24 hours a day to deliver the options that we must to the secretary and to the president. Today, as I close, I ask that we remember our fallen and those participating in the recovery operations to bring home our lost KC-135 crew, that we keep those service members and their families in their thoughts and prayers. Those are very, very, very tough days when that knock comes on the door for people on both sides of the door. Again, thank you to our deployed. Thank you to our fallen and to their families and to the joint force. And with that, I'll turn it back to you, sir.
Alexandra Ingersoll, One America News. Can you tell us a little bit more about the Strait of Hormuz and when it might be fully operational again? And how do we ensure our objective of denying Iran a nuclear weapon if they continue to align with our adversaries?
So I'll take it and chime in, Mr. Chairman, if you'd like at all. I want to emphasize what the chairman said about that. The only thing prohibiting transit in the straits right now is Iran shooting at shipping. It is open for transit should Iran not do that. Now, there's a reason why we chose, as one of our primary objectives, destroy the Navy. We understood the ability to interdict shipping is something Iran has done for 40 years. It's key terrain. They've used it as leverage. The world is seeing what they'll do to fight back in that context. And so we've heard them talk about taking various measures, and we're planning for all of them. So we have a plan for every option here. We're working with our interagency partners. And that's not a strait we're going to allow to remain contested or with a lack of flow of commercial goods. So we're aware of that. We're laser focused on our military objectives, but also want to make sure our partners across this government understand we're working with you to make sure that energy flows. And that's an important part. And the second question was on the nuclear capability. As we said from the beginning, their strategy shifted just from defense of their nuclear facilities to a conventional umbrella of so many missiles that no one would challenge their ability to the opportunity to defeat their nuclear capabilities. And it was growing by the day. So with Iran at its weakest moment, going at that ballistic missile capability creates an opportunity to ensure at any point in time that Iran give up their nuclear capabilities, or if need be, you prevent them from doing it, as the president has done once already with Operation Midnight Hammer, obliterating those capabilities. So the conventional side is a huge part at getting at denying nuclear capabilities, if you have anything you want to add.
Appreciate the question. I'm not going to comment on what we may or may not be thinking about any options that the joint force could be tasked to do in the future, whether it's on the nuke matter or anything else. Thank you.
But we have options.
The mines that are in the Strait of Hormuz and our ability to, obliterate them?
We retain a range of options to solve a whole variety of problems. That is one set of options that we have, that we hold on to. So,
absolutely.
Thank you.
Thank you, Secretary Hegseth. I'm Mary Margaret with Daily Wire. Thank you both for the update. ABC News has updated its story from yesterday, clarifying that the FBI report on Iran possibly striking California was unverified. I just want to ask you, what impact did that original reporting have on the public, and does Iran even have the ability to conduct such a strike? And then just really quickly on another note, what role did Vice President Vance play in counseling the president on this conflict? Can you speak to some of the media reporting suggesting that there is a division there?
That reporting on California obviously had no impact on us. Also, we're used to bad reporting. We're used to ill-informed reporting. And so it doesn't change how we operate, but we engage with it to prove that it's not true, as CENTCOM has done so well. I look at the reports on a daily basis of threat. Our interagency's all over it. My partners across government are all over looking for indications and warnings, keeping the American people safe. There's a lot of things Iran has said it can do for a long time, thankfully, including engaging their proxies and getting them involved in the fight, which they haven't been able to do. So we're watching that very closely. And as far as the vice president, he's an incredible member, leader of this team as well, alongside the president and Secretary of State. I can't say enough great stuff about this team, how it works together, how it provides options to the president and the vice president every single day is a key voice in that, an indispensable voice in that, actually. In the middle there, red tie. Yes.
Yes. Michael Gordon, Wall Street Journal. Iran is thought to have 440 kilograms of highly enriched uranium in at least two locations and several thousand kilograms of lower purity material. Can you conclude this mission successfully without physically taking control of that material, or are you counting on diplomatic negotiations to provide some measure of control leading to its removal. You've mentioned missiles, you've mentioned drones, military industry. You haven't stipulated that taking care of that material is a mission priority.
We've said from the beginning, deny Iran nuclear weapons as a core mission. We retain options across the spectrum to ensure that they never do. And President Trump has said that. And that's why this mission actually couldn't have been possible without Midnight Hammer, without what those B-2s did going across and obliterating those facilities. That set the condition for the opportunity to do what we're doing now. So the president's kept his eye focused on nuclear capabilities. And I will say we have a range of options, up to and including Iran deciding that they will give those up, which, of course, we would welcome. They weren't willing to do in negotiations. I would never tell this group or the world what we're willing to do or how far we're willing to go. But we have options for sure. Right next to him.
Me?
No, right there.
Right here, sir?
Right here? I'll take it.
Quarter
for sure.
Zip right there. Yep. No, you. Yep.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Can you please provide some guidance? It's been 13 days in. Can you please provide some guidance, both of you, about the strike on the girls' school?
All right, guys, we're going to be stepping in on this. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the American Journal. We're excited you're all jumping on with us today. Pete Hegseth, obviously, holding that press conference moments ago at the Pentagon. Again, this is a big one, given the fact that yesterday, sadly, there was a incident that occurred during a refueling aircraft situation. Four of its crew members, there's six total, but four of those crew members that were on board have been confirmed deceased, sadly. Again, these are U.S. service members who apparently went down around the western area of Iraq. Now, again, four so far confirmed. They are still searching for those other two, that being confirmed over at the Pentagon earlier today as well. And it's also worth noting, hours before this crash took place, or, the refueling accident took place, I wanted to make sure that you guys knew this, because I thought it was quite strange, too, that there was, and we don't know if this is the actual photos of the refueling jets that did crash, but there was a post to Central Command's X page, and it included photos. Also, Reuters published a video as well. And again, this was just moments before this incident happened. I don't know if this is over the western area of Iraq, but this was one of the images that were posted to the page prior to that accident. We're going to be doing a deep dive into the latest regarding Iran in just a few moments. We will also be getting to the two terror attacks that did take place yesterday. Obviously, many of you have learned some of the details. We've got all the latest information on that front. And again, we're not going to back away from it. These were two Islamic terror attacks. That now makes four in the last, 14 days? So we're not fear-mongering when we tell you about the sleeper cells. We're not fear-mongering when we're telling you about the cyber attacks that are going to take place, because we know that those have happened so far. And so, folks, we're going to keep delivering you the news. Again, when Alex and I sat down, this was a Saturday, the day that the attacks started taking place in Iran, we told you all, watch out for the cyber attacks. And watch out for potential sleeper cells or just Islamists going out there and causing terror attacks. Well, so far, there's been four Islamic terror attacks, and there has been officially one major cyber attack that has taken place by a pro-Iranian group. I'll bring you the latest information on that front in just a little. We've got an incredible show lined up for you, of course. In the meantime, though, head on over to thealexjonesstore.com. Iodine has just launched on the website, and it's 50% off for VIP members and 25% off for everyone else. America 250 t-shirt is also on sale. Final day, $14.99 for those shirts. It's 60% off again. $14.99 for these limited edition shirts. And it's also our March mega sale going on right now at thealexjonesstore.com.
My people perish for lack of knowledge. That's what the Bible tells us. Another way to say it is, those that don't know history are doomed to repeat it. God has given us compounds in nature that aren't just important, they're vital, they're essential. If you don't have oxygen for 4 minutes, you die. You don't have water for 4 or 5 days, you die. You don't have food for a month, you die. And why is that? Because there's nutrients in the food you need that are essential. Well, iodine is one of the essential nutrients. We have massive shortages of it in our depleted soils. Now, I have a new CIA declassified document I'm going to hit here in just a moment. But first, I want to show you a few headlines. UN study, 2 billion people suffer from vitamin mineral deficiencies, particularly iodine, the number one cause of cognitive disabilities in the world today. Here's another one. Salt smarts how iodine has increased America's IQs. Starting in the 20s, we had super low IQs like iodine. They put it in 15-20 point increase. My point is, this is a known fact. It just got declassified 2 weeks ago, CIA Operation Artichoke, in the 50s. They said, we've been tasked by the big tax-free foundations, the Rockefellers and Carnegies, to dumb down the American people. And we're going to put poisons in the food, the water, and the vaccines to dumb them down to make them more manageable. Absolutely incredible. So right here, ladies and gentlemen, I have taken a few drops of our new T3, even better than X2, pure atomic iodine, and mixed it with our medical-grade methylene blue. Both of these supercharge your cells, clean out your body, and counter the effects of the things now being admitted by the CIA. That fluoride calcifies the pineal gland and jackets your cells where they cannot transmit. Now, I've been telling you this for decades. So they have major studies, but now here it is. CIA declassified research. The human body is a liquid crystal that is literally transmitting and receiving a transceiver. And what does fluoride do? It literally blocks that. What goes in and strips that out? Iodine and methylene blue, they act in different ways. So this is information the bad guys not want you to know. Also in the CIA document, they admit that most cancer is microscopic worms. There's hundreds of species that get in and colonize your body, amoebas, and eat your breast, your liver, your brain, you name it. And then they call it a tumor and cancer, but they're just areas of your body that have been chewed out. Now, you've seen us with countless doctors and scientists on talking about this. Not all cancer is this, but the majority of it from studies is, and they are again telling you that you just got to die. And if you've got an infection of parasites in your brain or whatever, if they hit it with radiation, it kills the parasites. But the radiation also kills your regular cells. Turns out the majority of people in the world have one form or another of parasite. Here's the Daily Mail. CIA faces furious backlash after a hidden document the potential cure for cancer is declassified after 60 years. We've talked about this for many, many years. We are totally vindicated again. And right now, we finally have the original pure iodine back, but even stronger, now known as T3. The original X2, but even better, at thealexjonesstore.com. Again, ladies and gentlemen, T3 and what it does for your body is amazing. So for a limited time, you can get T3, our new iodine, the very best ever, at thealexjonesstore.com if you're a VIP member for 50% off, regular customers 25% off at thealexjonesstore.com. It funds the operation, total win-win. Now, methylene blue, you fill in 30 minutes on average. Iodine takes about 2 weeks to kick in to get the full effect, but it is just as amazing. You are insane if you don't go to thealexjonesstore.com right now and get our Ultra Methylene Blue and the new T3 that's even better than the next two. The same formula, but stronger. Exclusively available right now at thealexjonesstore.com. And I thank you so much for your support.
Morello has the dots they don't want connected. The truth they can't censor. The American Journal continues live on X and band.video worldwide.
Welcome back to the American Journal. We're excited you're jumping on board with us today. As I described earlier, there were two terror attacks, Islamic terror attacks that took place yesterday. One taking place 22 miles away from Dearborn, Michigan. That's actually where we find right now Gretchen Whitmer speaking. She's the governor of Michigan, and she just started a press conference. Let's take a listen.
I can't tell you how much I appreciate your leadership yesterday and how much my heart goes out to everything that you and your family and all of the families involved and the Jewish community writ large are going through. You know, I wanted to come today for a briefing, which we just concluded, to get up to speed on where things stand. I want to thank our state and local law enforcement, the first responders, our federal partners for their swift work to keep people safe and to investigate. I want to thank Temple Israel's security personnel. They were selfless in their courage and they saved lives. These heroes threw themselves in harm's way, engaging the suspect and let's be very clear. Yes, this is a place of worship, but at the time that this attack was occurred, it was a school. 104 children, age 5 and younger here. So I want to thank all of Temple Israel's staff who acted quickly to evacuate students and reunite families. The state of Michigan will wrap our arms around this community and support our local and federal partners every step of the way to keep people safe. I want to share prayers from my colleague, Governor Shapiro of Pennsylvania. Josh called, reached out yesterday to check in and see how people were doing. And I want Michigan's Jewish community to know that we are with you. Violence in our houses of worship and in our schools and in our daycare centers like this hits especially hard. Temple Israel is a pillar of the community. It's one of the largest Reform Jewish congregations in North America, with Friday night Shabbat services attracting over 1,000 people. People celebrate bar and bat mitzvahs, weddings, and holidays here. Parents bring their children to daycare and school, and it's a place of peace, unity, light, and life. Yesterday's attack was anti-Semitism. It was hate, plain and simple. We will fight this ancient and rampant evil. We will stand together as we do it, and we will call it out. We must lower the rhetoric in this state and in this country, especially at this moment where we have seen such a rise in anti-Semitism and more attacks on the Jewish community. We must keep each other close. This community is on the edge, very understandably. We've seen a rise in attacks, especially over the last decade, especially over the last 10 months. And so it is important for us to stand up, to stand against it, and to thank the people who showed up to support the community, but also call out where we see acts of anti-Semitism, where we see threats, where we see something, how important it is to say something, and to recognize that each of us has a responsibility. People like the person that attacked this community yesterday get fomented by rhetoric that they see online and that they see on television and they hear on the radio. It radicalizes people and it endangers our fellow Michiganders. We cannot let this continue. And so each of us has a duty to take action where and how we can. And with that, I'll hand it over to Senator Slotkin, and then we'll take a couple of questions.
All right, let me step in on this. So that was the Governor Gretchen Whitmer saying just that. Again, it seems like she used the moment a little bit towards the end to highlight the Democrats' push for censorship on social media platforms. Again, she's saying that people are becoming radicalized online, and she's blaming that for the terror attack that took place. And you didn't hear the word Islam in any of that. Ain't that something? The terror attacks that took place yesterday, folks, the two of them, you know what they had in common? Well, both of the Islamic terrorists, their names start with Muhammad. And so that's what we're dealing with right now. Both of them are Muhammads. I mean, it's not just a bad, distasteful joke, folks. The facts align with the fact that when we import people from countries that hate us, this is what we get. I'm going to walk you through the ties to immigration that both of these suspects have. But most importantly, it's not just them. There's also the other two that took place days ago. What, less than 14 days? We've had four terror attacks, Islamic terror attacks. And don't let these politicians bury the lead. The lead is they are Islamic terror attacks. Everyone's too afraid to call it out. You know we won't. We'll get into the details of that in just a few moments. I wanted to make sure we finished our briefing regarding what's going on in Iran. President Trump taking to Truth Social earlier this morning saying we've totally destroyed the terrorist regime. He goes on to saying, giving a little jab to the failing New York Times. Would incorrectly think that we are not winning. He also claims that the Iranian Navy is completely gone. You heard Pete Hegseth at the Pentagon talking about that earlier as well. They focused on the Navy for many, many reasons. But it was to make sure they weren't going to retaliate in the form of energy. Again, he goes on to saying that their military was unparalleled, calling them deranged scumbags today. He also is calling for the increase in attacks in Iran. He says in the next 24 hours are going to be a little rough for the regime and those that are still standing. Now, again, the person who's taken over as the supreme leader is currently in the hospital. Pete Hegseth saying that he's, in fact, disfigured. It's likely that he is still in a coma. So again, there's a lot of reports. Some people have been reporting they thought he was dead. Doesn't look to be that case. The Pentagon saying that he's disfigured. Let's turn to Stephen Miller, because as many of you guys know, Stephen Miller has his finger on the pulse multiple times, is accurate about things when he goes out there and speaks to what's going on. So whenever I hear that Stephen Miller is talking about what's going on in Iran, I usually listen up, because he knows everything, it seems like. Let's play clip one for you.
Well, I think it's important for your viewers, Jesse, and the American people to know that there's never in history been a more total asymmetric one-sided annihilation of the enemy than you are witnessing that is unfolding right now in Iran. Iran has long been feared by all the nations of the Middle East. It's long been believed to be one of the great military powers of the region, and yet the United States, under President Trump's leadership, has annihilated their navy, has annihilated their missile capabilities, has dealt devastating strikes to the IRGC and their command structure, has taken out, in collaboration and coordination with Israel, their nation's sinister leadership and command structure. It has been a complete wipeout of their capacity to unleash violence on the world. And we are in the process right now of degrading their entire military industrial base so that they cannot resume creating and building these weapons that not only could reach Europe, that not only could reach our military bases, but that someday could reach the mainland United States. So this has been, by every definition, an unprecedented military success against a regime that since 1979 has exported nothing but bloodshed and violence and claimed countless American lives.
Now, as many of you guys know, this administration is claiming victory so far, but they will not say that this is a full-on war. Again, President Trump saying, we've got all the ammunition, we've got all the time on our hands, we're not going to stop until there is a complete surrender. And that's what's happening right now. Now, in regards to the surrounding nations, you know, we keep hearing members of this administration go out there and they're trying to, you know, nudge neighbors to go out and condemn publicly Iran. In fact, yesterday, the UN ambassador, Mike Waltz, was speaking on the issue, and he actually wants the Gulf Arab nations to come forward and to condemn Iran publicly. Take a listen to clip two.
135 countries, and I read every one of them signed up with us. I read every one of them out loud, but I just can't emphasize enough for the Gulf Arabs to come together. And they've been kind of at loggerheads over Yemen and Sudan and all kinds of other things. To stand uniformly is incredibly powerful. And now today, and this is the part I don't think is getting a lot of attention, we are going to go the next round of snapback sanctions. Again, you know, kind of in this guise of where's the UN any good or helpful, President Trump put maximum pressure back in. He had it his first term. Biden lifted it. President Trump put it back in last year, and now the rest of the world will be with us. And the thing that's not changing right now is the absolute devastation that's going on within the Iranian economy. Mm-hmm. Their currency is in free fall. Their reserves are in free fall. If you remember the protests just a few months ago, it was from their merchant class. And that isn't going to get any better for this regime.
So we'll see how that all buckles up for the administration. Obviously, that's something that they're really, really focused on right now. Let's shift gears a little bit to the terror attack, and let's bring it back there. The press conference is still ongoing right now, but I didn't want to keep us, you know, in that, because right now it seems like Gretchen Whitmer is making this more about political speech. Refusing to say the word Islam tells me that they're not being truthful, and they're also refusing to actually talk about what's going on here. Yesterday, you know, there were several terror attacks that took place, but the Old Dominion one, let's focus on that one first. Two people are injured. Sadly, one has lost his life. Lieutenant Colonel Shihai, I believe is how you pronounce it, is the individual, sadly, who's lost his life. He is a well-decorated service member. But it didn't have to happen. Why? Well, the suspect involved in all of this, of course, his first name is Mohammed, was someone who was actually apprehended prior to all of this. He is someone who apparently was accused and was, well, he spent some time in federal prison for attempting to aid ISIS. He opened fire in the classroom, obviously killing one. But folks, When you hear the details of all of this, and I want you to listen to the press conference that was held on this, listen carefully. I actually greatly appreciate this. Why? Because they're not backing away from the facts. They're all sitting here, and they're going to tell you, which is rare, because this is the FBI, they're actually telling you exactly what the motive was in all of this. Take a listen to clip three and how the federal, this is going to be the FBI special agent who's in charge. Take a listen to what she said in regards to the details of yesterday's terror attack. In clip three.
I can tell you that we have confirmed reports that prior to him conducting this act of terrorism, he shouted, stated Allahu Akbar, and he was formerly a subject of a FBI investigation in material supporting terrorism.
Agent, were there explosives in his car?
We have no information about any explosives in his car or anywhere else at this time.
Did he have one weapon?
As far as I know, we only know of one weapon that he had on his person at this time.
What kind of aid was he giving to ISIL 10 years ago?
He wanted to conduct a terrorist attack similar to that in Fort Hood, Texas.
Is there any mention of the war in Iran?
None whatsoever.
How was he deceased?
There were students that were in that room that subdued him and rendered him no longer alive. I don't know how else to say it, but they basically were able to terminate the threat.
So he was not shot?
He was not shot.
He shot three people?
Correct. We have information that he shot three people.
The one that went to Virginia Beach for treatment, was that person just winged or grazed?
So I don't have any information at this time about the specific, life-threatening or not otherwise to the two that are still alive. But at this time, we're respecting the victims of the shooting. That includes not only the ones that were shot, but all of the people here at ODU I consider are victims. This is a tragic event, and I do ask that you look at that. You're all part of our community, too. And so I just want to throw that out there, too, to give the respect and the time needed to provide that additional information about the victims.
Did you say he was released in 2024?
Correct.
What was the Bureau's intelligence level on him since then?
So I don't have any of that information right now. That's because this is an ongoing investigation. After we learned of his name, we confirmed that he was formerly a subject of material support to terrorism investigation and obviously was sentenced for that. But I don't have any information indicating that he was known or an ongoing problem.
Do you have one more question?
Do you have any more specifics on how he was subdued?
Yeah, the brave ROTC members in that room subdued him. And if not for them, I'm not sure, what else he may have done. But that's exactly, they confronted him and they subdued him and he was no longer able to conduct any further attack.
Now, when you look at the details as to how they were able to subdue him, sorry, folks, still early, gotta give me a good hour. The details, according to reports, they're saying that they actually stabbed him. Good on them. Good on them. Saving countless lives and saving the American taxpayer a lot of money on a BS trial. This man, when you give him a second chance to go out there and kill, guess what they do, folks? They actually do it. They actually do it. The fact that we release him from prison. And I was reading reports as to how long the Trump administration back in 2017 asked a federal judge to give him for that crime of supplying material to ISIS. Guess how much they asked for? Guess. 20 years. The DOJ asked for 20 years in prison. The judge turned around, declined, and sentenced him to only to 132 months in prison. And, of course, 5 years of supervised release. I guess he wasn't being supervised. These people are all absolute scumbags. Absolute scumbags. By the way, the Biden administration released the terrorist years before his sentence was supposed to be up. That was back in December 2024. So when you give them an avenue to go out there and slaughter Americans, guess what they're going to do, folks? He's proven to the American people, he's proven to the courts, that he is, in fact, a terrorist. And what do they do? Well, they say, let's give him a second opportunity. Supplying material to ISIS, and we gave him freedom. Doesn't end there. Yesterday, as many of you guys know, I was on with Alex when we were learning more and more about the terror attacks that were taking place all across the country. Two of them yesterday. The last 14 days, again, I can't stop saying this. There were four of them. Mainstream media won't tell you that, though. They don't want to connect the dots. CNN's still telling you about the New York City two terrorists that they caught, allegedly, of course. But those two, they're saying, they were just two teens just walking through the park in New York City, enjoying the good old weather, when suddenly their lives were changed forever. Absolute propaganda garbage for the jihadists. And then those innocent children that were shot and killed inside of an Austin bar. The Michigan synagogue attacker, of course, his middle name, Muhammad, but he's a national from Lebanon who first entered our country back in 2011 on IR1 immigration visa status as the spouse of a U.S. citizen. He was then later naturalized and received his U.S. citizenship in 2016 under Barack Obama, of course. And you know where he was living by? Dearborn, Michigan. You know, I was on with Alex yesterday. We didn't have any information. We did know that there was an active incident taking place in the area. We heard synagogue, and the first thing I asked the control room was, hey, how far is that synagogue from Dearborn, Michigan? 22 miles. Knew it immediately. This individual rammed his vehicle into the synagogue. That vehicle had explosive devices inside of it. And once inside of the building, he apparently opened fire. We're still trying to learn the information as to if he was able to get out of the vehicle. There was a body that was burning inside of the vehicle. Those details yet have not been totally released. But according to reports, he was really upset because a couple of his family members, apparently, who still live in Lebanon, were killed in the recent strikes. He was devastated 10 days earlier by the news that several of his family members, including his niece and nephew, were apparently killed in an Israeli attack on their home in Lebanon. Now, again, folks, this was all avoidable. If we stopped allowing these people into our country, when you go through the list of specifically like where these last four terrorists have all come from, what is it? I mean, the bulk of them, I think we're now up to three of them who were naturalized immigrants, if I'm not mistaken. Naturalized citizens would be the term. And then the other two teens in New York City, their families coming from places like Turkey, Afghanistan. We brought them into our country. And as a result of that, their teenage kids go out there and allegedly try throwing explosives into crowds of protesters. You know, and we're going to do a deep dive into all of this because the Trump administration is backing away from their commitment, that commitment being exactly what we've talked about, mass deportations. But it's very, very hard to conduct mass deportations when you're looking at the result of legal immigration. You can't just deport those people. There's got to be some connection to fraud to be able to denaturalize them and toss them out of the country. And that's the problem with all of this, folks. It's an uphill battle. We've allowed these people into our country. We've given them citizenship. And then they spit back in our faces and say, we're going to kill you. We're going to kill you. See, I remember a time, this is pre-9/11. I was in elementary school at the time. I remember a time, though, where you didn't have to worry about these things, right? Me and my family were able to go to Christmas events, and you didn't have to step over or step through concrete barriers to go enjoy a stroll in a downtown setting with Christmas lights. You didn't have to walk through airports and go through all this extensive amount of security. We didn't have to have metal detectors everywhere to go to arenas, go to sporting events. You know why? Because we had a very small amount of Islamists in this country. But due to our suicidal empathy, we have allowed millions to flood into our country. Why? Well, because the left has guilted so many Americans into thinking that we need to do this. Now, again, everyone always says there's peaceful Muslims, and of course there are. There are millions and millions of them in our country that are peaceful. But I haven't seen any of them come forward and condemn any of this. Four terror attacks over the last few days, and guess what? I hear nothing from the Muslim community. They're not trying to distance themselves. although they would not carry out those terror attacks. They read the same Quran that those lunatics read. Maybe it's less inbreeding and they're not so crazy. But they pick and choose what they want to abide by in the Quran. And obviously with over 100 violent threats that are in the Quran, I mean, it's really just acts of violence that they're telling you about. It's over 100 of them. It's quite strange how we don't see more of this, honestly. But here we are again talking about two more terror attacks caused by Islamists. It's not fear-mongering. I know a lot of people like to blame other people, but this is not what we're doing. We're not doing this. We're not doing this. We're not going to sit here, as you just heard Governor Whitmer do, and blame the internet for radicalizing people. Of course the internet radicalizes people. But they're going to use that as a way to go after free speech. We're not going to allow that. Say it. Say it. Stop being a bunch of cowards and sitting there and trying to appease your jihadists who are loyalists to you because they know that you're ignorant. They know you're going to allow them into your country. They don't care. They don't care. They don't care if they're destroying our communities. That is the ultimate goal here. We've imported people from third world countries throughout the Middle East. We brought them into our country. They despise us. They hate us. And then they go and attack us. Now, again, I mean, Israel has a big part in this. Obviously, they are causing a lot of issues for the United States right now. But as a whole, I wouldn't say that this is 100% Israel because these radical jihadists, it's not even radical. This is if you're following the Quran, it's telling you to do this. These jihadists that we've led into our country hate us. They hate us. And I keep using this analogy, but the reality of it is you give me 10 apples and you tell me two of them are poisonous. I'm not eating any of the apples. You'd have to be a fool to eat one of those apples. Even with the small chance that I could possibly die from a poisonous apple, I'm still not going to have it. That's exactly what we've done to our country. The rationale that they're not all bad is absolute garbage. It's absolute garbage. We used to live in a country that was peaceful. We used to live in a country that at the core was Christian. And what we're doing right now is we're allowing them to take over. We've allowed this. They've built up their Muslim compounds. They are funded by foreign countries that hate us as well. And they're trying to take us out. And they're doing it. More to dive into in just a little bit. In the meantime, folks, head on over to thealexjonesstore.com. It's March Mega Sale going on right now. That's a 40% off your favorite supplements. NAD Plus, Ultimate Burn Life Force, Sea Moss Gummies, as well as MK Ultra. So many items right now on sale over at thealexjonesstore.com. All right, don't go anywhere. We'll more discuss in a second.
So, CIA declassified documents last week, Operation Artichoke, to poison vaccines, food supply, and the water to dumb us down and make us controllable. Now new documents about ESP control, how we're really electrochemical systems, liquid crystals, and the pineal gland, and how most people have microscopic to actual large worm infestations, not just from cats, you name it, like Kennedy has one in his brain, and they didn't tell the public most cancer, breast cancer, brain cancer is worms. Ladies and gentlemen, you can look it up. Go to the UN's own website. They admit it. Over 2 billion people have cognitive disabilities because they do not have enough iodine. In the 20s, they found this out. They put in the salt. IQs went up about 20 points on average, 15, 20 points. Well, we have the very best atomic iodine in the world. Has been available in several years, ladies and gentlemen. But we have the original X2 back, but even stronger. Pure atomic. Atomic isn't radioactive. It means it's on the periodic table. It is absolutely pure. And I mix that with ultramethylene blue that is also on record good for your pineal gland and reversing the calcification, the rest of it. Well, we've got the best methylene blue, and I just mixed the iodine with the methylene blue with this water. I'm going to drink this, and this is pure rocket fuel, so good for your body. Essential iodine with methylene blue together is amazing. Pretty scary looking, too. So, by the way, the new product is supposed to be available right now at thealexjonesstore.com. Is T3. It's X2 back even better at thealexjonesstore.com. So for all the fans that wanted it, everybody that wanted to get it, we have had it for over a year. It is back, reborn, like the Phoenix, even stronger, exclusively available through our sponsor, thealexjonesstore.com. But regardless, our methylene blue, our iodine is the best, and it does so many other things, libido, stamina, energy, and they go together like a horse and carriage. Get them both now. There's also another big sale as well at thealexshowstore.com, and I thank you for your support.
American Journal. We're excited you're all here today. Second hour of the show, about to kick off in a moment. President Trump just posted on Truth Social confirming a report regarding Cuba. I wanted to bring you that update as well. Cuba confirms talks with President Trump's and President Trump's officials, I should say, raising hopes for a potential deal. Now, this comes after a report just dropped yesterday. Cuba's government announced that yesterday there was the release of 51 prisoners. This is one of those acts of goodwill as they are trying to appease the Trump administration, because President Trump has threatened Cuban officials. And President Trump is not backing away from this. He is actually going all steam ahead when it comes to Cuba. This is an unexpected move, according to reports. The Cuban government obviously is trying its best to comply because they don't like the blockage in oil shipments. Again, this is what's going on right now. The president obviously telling Cuba it's time to get in line. And if you've seen what's gone on in Venezuela, you've seen what's gone on, obviously, now in Iran. They're probably going to take it very seriously. They're only about a 45-minute boat ride off our shores. So it's very, very likely that they are going to continue to back the president. All right, a little bit. My girl Alison Steinberg has been doing an incredible job on the Hill. I mean, she's going out there and she's like confronting everyone. This includes both Democrats and Rhino Republicans. John Cornyn ran into her and he wasn't a fan, but I'm a fan of my girl Allison. She does a great job, and we look forward to talking about that in a little bit. We'll also be talking about the White House, who's going out there and referring to an ABC News report on sleeper cells as fake news. I would probably beg to differ on that front. Also, Pete Hegseth announcing his reaction, I guess I should say, at the Pentagon podium earlier today to that ABC report. The White House is trying to distance themselves from the sleeper cell threat. I just think that they don't want the American people to know. That's why the president looked very hesitant. That's why Kristi Noem, I mean, she didn't really stumble, but she did look nervous in her response as well when she was asked about the sleeper cells in this country and where they're located. She said, she's under oath. We don't know. But now, obviously, the White House is trying to change the messaging on that, it appears. So I'll bring that to you in a moment. Also, we keep hearing from a lot of individuals that the White House is trying to change its tone on mass deportations, the messaging coming from the White House. And the White House telling me that, no, that wasn't the case. Obviously, we're looking to complete our mission, which is to deport, keyword here, illegal alien criminals. They keep throwing the word criminals in there. I keep hearing that that means worst of the worst. That doesn't just mean every illegal alien. Again, it's really important when you listen into the words as to how they are trying to distance themselves from this. I think, and we're going to play this clip again, that Republicans seem to think that they're not going to win these midterms because of the mass deportation issue. Again, deportations, it was never going to be a very easy thing to do. But the messaging coming from the White House, although I think it's been pretty good, you don't have allies in the mainstream media. They're pushing lies, fear-mongering tactics, of course. And so we shouldn't lose out on mass deportations. Apprehension numbers are extremely low. But that's been from day one. And we're going to talk about how Republicans are dancing around it now, telling us that it's going to be massive reforms when it comes to just that. There's also a lot more to talk to you all about, of course, in regards to the violence that's being committed still by illegal aliens. So the argument that we're just going to sit here and not carry through until they're criminals actually commit another crime on U.S. soil is pretty insane. So lots to get to over there. Folks, in the meantime, if you haven't done so already, alexjonesapp.com. Make sure you download the app. Why? Well, when we start our next project, which you watched yesterday's show over with Alex, the Alex Jones Show, you heard him announce that April 15th, it's very likely that those doors will be shut. So if you want to stay in touch with our project, our next project, alexjonesapp.com is where you do just that.
Introducing Ultra DNA Revival, the advanced daily supplement designed to help you feel and perform at your absolute best, starting at the cellular level. Backed by cutting-edge mitochondrial and DNA support science, Ultra DNA Revival delivers noticeable all-day energy without stimulants or crashes, faster recovery and greater endurance, sharper focus and mental clarity, support for healthy blood sugar levels, stronger immune system function, enhanced liver health and natural detoxification, reduces everyday stress and anxiety, protection against oxidative stress, and the visible signs of aging. And again, this is a private label of an already best-selling brand that found this. Thousands of customers report feeling the difference in as little as 7 to 14 days. Right now, take advantage of our best pricing ever. VFM members, $34.95. Regular, $59.59. Save over 40% with a VFM membership for $30 a month. Experience the revival your body has been waiting for. Secure your DNA revival today at TheAlexJonesStore.com.
You're tuned in to The American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back to The American Journal. We're excited you're all jumping on board with us today. All right. My girl, Alison Steinberg, is a badass, and I love her to pieces. Why? Because she asks the questions that everyone is afraid to ask. I don't know why they're so afraid of it. I actually tagged her in a post yesterday. If you are interested and following her, I'd highly recommend you do just that. Why? Well, she doesn't care. She'll go up to Republicans. She'll go up to Democrats. She'll ask them tough questions. And she's not one of those corporate media reporters who go out there and ask fluffy questions. She asks the hard stuff. And it gets both sides really triggered in all of this. And, you know, I texted her yesterday because I was so proud of her. Because she confronted John Cornyn. And we're going to play clip 4 for you in a second. But I texted her. I said, Alison, you are like the queen of all of this. You are the only one. You are undefeated when it comes to this because you are out there asking these questions. And he, I don't know if they just put him in like a bubble where he has no idea what's going on in the outside world, John Cornyn. But she's like, I knew once I finished asking that question that you were going to be so proud. And I am. Her Twitter name is Allison in the Know. We've got it up on my Twitter page. Give her a follow. She's great. But let's play clip 4 for you. You're going to get a good laugh at this.
What do you have to say to the Americans who are questioning why President Trump should endorse you when many say that you've been vehemently against his agenda?
Do you speak for all these Americans? I don't understand.
Yeah, actually, I do.
Yeah.
Many people are asking this question. Do you have a response? I mean, you've been borderline pro-amnesty, red flag laws.
Are you being paid? Are you being paid by the Paxton campaign?
No, I'm just a concerned American citizen representing millions of other Americans.
No, I think you're a paid influencer because none of that's true, and you know it.
paid influencer. That's like the new, what is that supposed to be, the new dig? A paid influencer. No, she's a reporter. She works for Lindell TV. And she does an incredible job at confronting people. And I'm such a fan of her. Great person, too. But man, oh man, is he trying to deflect? He has no idea about his previous stance on everything. I mean, this is the guy that was backing FISA. FISA's never been used on an American citizen. That's misinformation. Excuse me, John Cornyn. We have the archived videos of you talking about these things. This isn't just a big conspiracy that you're an advocate for the deep state, that you're a little operative, that they keep pushing you out there, even though clearly, I mean, you're probably not mentally well. Clearly should be aged out, termed out, I guess would be the proper way to say it. But he's an absolute pile of garbage. Why? Because he continues to go out there and lie to the American people. We know that he's very anti-Trump. We know this. We know that he's praised all of Trump's top enemies, all the deep staters who went after President Trump, who tried throwing him in prison. That was the guy that validated it all. Now he's asking for the president's blessing so he can be reelected after being an absolute scumbag over the years. Are you a paid influencer? Who tells these people that that's a good one, sir? You should go with that when someone asks you a real question. as to why you've been on the wrong side of literally every issue, every issue. The guy literally praised James Comey. I mean, he's an absolute scumbag. And by the way, when you praised him, that was shortly after James Comey issued that 8647 threat. But Allison's great. Why? Because it didn't just end there for her. I mean, this girl was busy yesterday on the Hill. Senator Tom Tillis, obviously a rhino, but he's done with being a senator. So if you're Tom Tillis, you're going to try your very best to figure out what your next plan is. And it's probably just to take down the Trump administration at this point. He hates President Trump. We've played the clip for you. He was just recently at the WEF and he pledged his alliance to the World Economic Forum hacks. And so it's no surprise at clip five, he's pushing back on the Save America Act. Take a listen.
Where are you on the Save America Act specifically? 95% of Republicans
support it. Save America Act. And you can say 95% of the people support it, but you can also have to do further analysis and say that the main voters reject that voter ID by 60-40 vote in the last 2 years, and the same is true in Michigan 4 years ago. So spare me these national numbers and start drilling down. You know why? Because I actually care about Republicans winning elections. So those sort of broad swaths are not going to get them elected. They're going to get them unelected.
What about illegals voting in elections? Isn't this necessary to protect elections?
Of course. And that's exactly why as Speaker of the House, I signed a voter ID bill, and we have voter integrity in North Carolina, and actually signed bills to stop ballot harvesting after a Republican got caught doing ballot harvesting in North Carolina. So, look, I mean, we can play all the political garbage games that we want to, but if you're a Republican that's worried about Republican majorities, then you start acting like an adult and stop setting up and giving more bait to Democrats to beat us in November. If we did Save America Act, where we update Help America Vote Act, and we say if you're a state that doesn't require voter ID, you're on your own for funding your elections. And the federal government will focus more on voter integrity in those states that don't. So you go it on your own to pay for your elections, and the federal government will spend more time, because it necessarily has to, in those states that are going against what a majority of their voters want to do.
Obviously, Tom Tillis not very happy about the question. Should it be a state issue? Yes. But the reality of it is blue states are never going to do that. We're talking about federal elections here also. Keep that in the back of your mind. So the federal government should push forward these types of laws, because, again, it affects their federal elections. And so to sit here and to put it at the state level, no, I actually don't think that's an acceptable response. Again, federal elections. We're not talking about each individual state. He's obviously talking about North Carolina there. Yeah, it's great. Voter ID, we love it on a state level. But the federal government's in charge of federal elections. So to sit here and to bounce around and pretend like that's not the case, come on. And you heard the anger in his voice, as if it was some type of crazy thing to demand that we verify people who are weighing in on our federal elections, so we verify their identities and that they're whether or not they are American citizens. Again, this is why over at the DOJ right now, they have to sue both red and blue states, because, red and blue states, guess what they're not doing? They're not turning over their voter rolls. There's been, I think at least we're up to about 20 of them, are refusing to hand over their voter rolls to the DOJ Civil Rights Division. Harmy Dillon's the one looking into that. Why? Well, probably because it's really messy, I had a guess. And I don't want to keep alluding to the fact that there's some hope for the Save America Act. Like, you have people like Mitch McConnell despise President Trump. Mitch McConnell's on his way out. Tillis is on his way out. Lisa Murkowski, obviously, she owes Mitch McConnell a couple of favors because she has her seat because of him. So that's just three right off the top of my head that I could tell you are a no vote that I could assume. I mean, Mitch McConnell hates President Trump, hates him. You think he's going to go forward and push this through? Of course not. But who do we have to blame here? Well, I'll tell you who. Ourselves. So when it comes to primary day, Republican voters never show up. Never do. In fact, I think it's probably somewhere around 20%. Do actually join and weigh in on primary day, which is actually horrific numbers when you think about it. And that's the reason why people like Tom Tillis, Mitch McConnell, Lisa Murkowski, they end up on the top of their ballots. It's a name that they're familiar with, so voters feel a sense of loyalty. rather than digging into possible other candidates. And it's always landslide victory. So it's not even like people are really interested in learning more about primary challengers. That's why we are where we are in this country, folks. And again, you know how I feel about the president's endorsements. I always say, look the other way on those endorsements. Do your own research. Do your own digging. I can't cover every local election. I can't. It's impossible, right, with all the members of Congress, with all the challengers popping up all over the place. It's impossible. It's up to you to look internally and to figure out what is the best candidate for your district. And to show up and to tell your family members to show up. Everyone bitches and complains because you have rhinos sitting in seats that they don't belong in. We all wonder why, how, because when primary day comes up, sadly, nobody really cares. And again, the majority of that, Republican voters, usually sit those out. The people who are loyal, the people, the boomers out there, that I love everyone talking about the boomers. They're used to these people popping up on Fox News, so they think that they're actually doing their jobs. They throw little zingers in there, so these people think they're doing their jobs. They're not. Unless, of course, their jobs is to hold up President Trump's agenda, which I think actually is the role of these officials, not to represent their constituents, of course. Senator John Fetterman, again, I do like hearing from him because you never really know where he's going to go on these issues. In clip six, he actually too spoke with Allison. He says that the Save America Act is in fact just political theater. Take a listen.
Do you have time for a quick question on the Save America Act?
I've been very front and center on it. I'm not sure what the agenda is. Now, if they have a serious conversation, that's just provide basic ID to vote. You know, like I was somebody that could support that.
Okay, and what is it about the current legislation that you have a problem with? Because you did support it before.
Because it has no chance of passing. Okay. So, like, put up something that has a chance to maybe even pass, unless you just want empty kind of show votes. If they want that, that's their prerogative. I'll be a reasonable Democrat to say, showing ID to vote, that's 83% of Americans agree with that. 71% of Democrats do. Make sure that you want to know who people are voting. Regular ID, you know, that's something I might get behind, not all the other things. So if you want a show vote, you'll get it, and then it has no chance of passing.
Do you think that if we implemented the talking filibuster that it would have a better chance of passing?
No, I've been very clear about that. If they want to be serious about it, do it. Otherwise, you'll get your show vote that has no chance of passing. Do you want to make it, sir? You want to make it more secure and, you know, do it the right way that have a chance of passing. Otherwise, it's just bad performance art.
Thank you, Senator.
I mean, he's got a point. I can't really push back on that when it comes to political theater. Obviously, the president's advocating for it on social media. Is it dead on arrival? It looks to be. I don't think he has the numbers in his favor. And so here we are still talking about it. Is there a way to meet in the middle on this? I don't think so. I think the president has had enough of this. That's why he's stepping out saying, I'm done signing bills. Until we pass this, I'm done. Nothing's getting through in this White House. Will that strategy work? I don't think so. Again, Mitch McConnell has nothing to lose. You think he's going to help the president in any way? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. He's made it very clear he despises this administration. And he's going to do whatever he can, of course, to hold up the agenda of the president. And time again, you know, you see all these people hop out. We don't have the numbers. We don't have the numbers. All right. So then where do we come to some sort of an agreement? What are their stances? What are they willing to negotiate on? And this hiding behind closed doors and not calling them out publicly is disgraceful. Absolutely disgraceful. If you truly believe that the cause of holding up the Save America Act is a noble one, then put your name on it. Explain to the American people why you're a no vote. This protecting of people like probably Mitch McConnell, again, I can only assume that dinosaur who hates President Trump is going to be the one to hold up things like this, and his loyalists who got into the Senate barely got into the Senate. We know how Alaska does their elections. It's an absolute disgrace. But here we are. Here we are. So it's going to be a complete standstill for the Trump administration, and it's all because of the people who have continuously made their way into the U.S. Senate. Again, it's the rhino's fault, but it's also the fault of us for not taking primaries seriously, for not showing up and voting. The people who show up to vote, again, are the ones who are watching Fox News. And they continue to say, well, she was nice. I saw her on Maria Bartiromo. I saw her on Fox and Friends. I saw her on Sean Hannity. And because I'll never actually really grill them on their lack of motion, Maria does a good job, actually. I'll give her that. Here we are, stuck with them. All right, speaking of Fox News, right now over on Fox, the former DHS secretary under Barack Obama actually is speaking out in regards to the current partial DHS shutdown in clip 14. Take a listen.
Four terror attacks in the last couple of weeks alone, two just yesterday.
Yep.
We were talking about this earlier. Does it feel to you that, like, something has changed in these last couple of weeks? Like, you
yes.
can feel it. What
yes,
is it?
It does. I believe we are in a heightened threat environment, most likely because of events in the Middle East. Iran is a state sponsor of terrorism. We can decapitate the leadership there, but that does not decapitate the ability to be a state sponsor of terrorists. It does not decapitate the ability to inspire acts of terrorism, including acts of terrorism here in the homeland. And so, bottom line to all of this, we need to fund, Congress needs to fund the department that exists to ensure homeland security.
But what about, how do you think about cybersecurity?
Folks, when we get into all of this, if they feel like that DHS isn't worth funding and it has nothing to do with our country's national security, then great. Let's just get rid of DHS altogether. But that's not what they're doing here. They're trying their best. And I don't know why Republicans did this. I don't know why they didn't fully fund DHS. It's both parties' fault, right? Because we knew this was going to result in a standoff. It's common sense. They hate ICE. They want to stop the deportations, which are significantly low. We'll talk about the details about that in a moment. But that's exactly what they were trying to do. And sadly, Republicans were foolish enough not to fully fund DHS. So now it's separate. It's on its own little island, and you got to figure out whether we're going to get funding or not, because now Democrats are just like, we want nothing to do with that. Four terror attacks in the last couple of days and still no movement. Yesterday, too, they voted it down again. And by the way, if you're someone who has to go to the airport, you might as well drive. It's going to be pretty brutal for you. I was just looking at footage of the Austin airport, and the line for TSA is literally outside. Why? Well, because so many TSA agents are just done. Over the last 12 months, they've been held hostage for all the political games, and I don't like TSA, you all know it, but if you work for TSA, are you really going to keep allowing them to use you and your paycheck as a political opportunity? No. You're bowing out. They've just officially missed their, I believe, their second paycheck as well. And as a result of that, hundreds of them have actually left. They've resigned. They've quit. We don't even have the number on how many are actually calling out, but 300 of them so far have left. The lines are an absolute nightmare, and especially spring break, so it's going to be worse. It's going to get worse. I don't blame these people for wanting to leave. I'd be done. I'd be done if I was a federal employee. It's like, it's already a miserable job. Obviously, you're just someone who's grabbing IDs, looking at them, or if you're using the biometrics privacy grab, you're just quickly swiping these ideas and move on. I wouldn't want to work for the federal government, but I can imagine those who have recently been onboarded just departing at this point. I mean, what's the point, right? Because when you take out these loans because you can't pay your bills because you're not getting any income, your jobs really don't pay that well in the first place. And so now you're forced to pay the interest on those loans because the federal government won't give you any funding to take out loans to carry you through this shutdown. And I liked what Kristi Noem did originally, the secretary over at DHS. Initially, she yanked all the security details for those members of Congress who think that they're special. And they get these really great details. They're able to kind of slip through the TSA lines and then get walked over to their gate. Must be nice. The rest of us peasants, we got to wait. So again, DHS not being funded, probably an issue, probably something that should be top priority. I said it a long time ago, too. I said, why don't we just stop? Like, I would just completely stop TSA altogether. I just shut it down. If you're flying commercial, you're not flying commercial. We don't have security. This is now a national security issue. We just had four Islamic terror attacks. We have literally no TSA agents to check security-wise. This is now a massive, massive national security issue. Shut it all down. Now, I've spoken to people about this. I've pitched the idea. If you want to force Democrats to come to the negotiation table, you got to go after these companies. And obviously, why do I say that? Well, these companies, these airliners, are going to then be calling up Democrats, who they donate to, by the way, and say, hey, listen, we can't. It's going to completely destroy our industry. That's the Austin airport today. This is destroying our industry. You can't keep doing this. And then Democrats would come to the table. But the problem is, I don't think this administration is ready for that. We're watching them crawl back on a lot of issues. This issue, I think, they probably wouldn't want to even touch because it would be an economic issue. Obviously, the economy would have some type of ramifications for that. That's why you see them now with the oil, obviously releasing their own reserves on that, trying to bring that in those prices. Again, I don't know why we're sitting here pretending like those are crazy prices under Joe Biden. They were significantly higher. But of course, this is what we do. Instead of pushing back on the argument that the left makes, we instead just take a knee. And so that's that. Interesting report dropped today over at the New York Post. This one, they're claiming is exclusive for them. I guess they found it and the rest of us didn't. But the DOJ quietly issued its first ever correction to the 2019 Mueller report. Now, this correction took place on December of 2025, so last year. Now, in the footnote, they acknowledged an error. Footnote 112 related to the Steele dossier and the, quote, golden showers. Allegations involving Donald Trump in Moscow, the footnote, wrongly identified a businessman who was named in, and actually, I believe he's suing for defamation as well. But ultimately, yeah, there's a little bit of a correction, which is exciting to hear. It's been an ongoing legal battle. So the DOJ doing that back in 2025, so that's last year. Michael Cohen apparently has welcomed the change. And he also keeps saying, there's no P-tape. Yeah, we all know that. The only ones who actually believe that there was a P-tape are the people that hate President Trump in the first place. Don't you think if there was any legitimacy to that claim, it would have been released on the internet? Of course. Of course. They tried stopping him 3 times. You'd release, you throw everything at the wall and hope something sticks. So the DOJ issuing that correction. All right, we got more to discuss. My favorite senator, Tommy Tuberville, is under attack for a lot of reasons. But I want to get to a soundbite when we come back from break about, he's in full warrior mode and we love to see it. He's also running for governor in Alabama, too, and we do hope he wins. In the meantime, though, folks, head on over right now, thealexjonesstore.com. We just launched that iodine on thealexjonesstore.com, and if you're a VIP member, you get 50% off. Now, we greatly appreciate it when you support us. Of course, you guys are helping fund our next operation when you do just that, so head on over to thealexjonesstore.com right now. And again, VIP members, 50% off. We're grateful for you, so we're going to extend that discount to you. But if you're not a VIP member, we'll also give you another discount. We'll give you 25% off. Now today, and I have to say it, today's the final day. If you want that special edition America 250 t-shirt, which is $14.99 over at thealexjonesstore.com, well, today's the last day you can get this offer. It's 60% off right now at thealexjonesstore.com. We also have the March Mega Sale going on right now, so that means your favorite supplements are up to 40% off, which include MK Ultra, CMOS Gummies, Life Force, Ultimate Burn, NAD+, and so many other items, Methylene Blue as well. Head on over to thealexjonesstore.com. And yesterday, if you were watching Alex Jones on air on his show, you saw that the final date here, it looks to be like April 15th. We don't know if the door's going to be shutting sooner. So if you want to stay in touch with us, best way to do so, alexjonesapp.com. That's alexjonesapp.com. Make sure you download the app because that is the best way to stay in touch with us as we prepare for our next project. All right, more discussion just a bit. Don't go anywhere.
CIA declassified documents last week. Operation Artichoke to poison vaccines, food supply, and the water to dumb us down and make us controllable. Now new documents about ESP control, how we're really electrochemical systems, liquid crystals, and the pineal gland, and how most people have microscopic to actual large worm infestations, not just from cats, you name it, like Kennedy has one in his brain, and they didn't tell the public most cancer, breast cancer, brain cancer is worms. Now, this is all over the place. Joe Rogan talks about it, I have for years. But here it is. Scientists and doctors figuring out now, the CIA knew in 62 that dewormers could reverse most cancers and didn't tell the public that's mass murder. Here it is.
My parasite medications work against cancer cells. And it turns out that the parasites use mitochondrial substrate level phosphorylation in the tissue. And these embendazole, fenbendazole kill these parasites. So I tried it on the cancer cell. And sure as hell, it targets the mitochondrial substrate and glycolysis. So we have a mechanism now why parasite medications are working. But cancer is not a parasite. All these people say, oh, cancer is a parasite. It's not a parasite. Parasites and tumors use a common metabolic pathway, and a drug that works against parasites can be very effective against cancer. And that's what we begin to see, especially under nutritional ketosis.
So to be clear, the anti-parasite drugs cut off the same mechanism in cancer, but we now know and have known that a lot of cancers from parasites, it's double good. And I don't sell that, but you can buy it online. And my medical doctor told me years ago, take this once a year as a regimen. I do. That's important information you might want to write down, folks, okay? All right. Ladies and gentlemen, you can look it up. Go to the UN's own website. They admit it. Over 2 million people have cognitive disabilities because they do not have enough iodine. In the 20s, they found this out, sort of put in the salt. IQs went up about 20 points on average, 15, 20 points. Well, we have the very best atomic iodine in the world, has been available in several years, ladies and gentlemen. But we have the original X2 back, but even stronger, pure atomic. Atomic isn't radioactive. It means it's on the periodic table. It is absolutely pure. And I mix that with ultramethylene blue that is also on record, good for your pineal gland and reversing the calcification, the rest of it. Your Doc Chambers on, medical doctor, special forces colonel, army colonel. And I said, what do you think methylene blue? He goes, oh, I've been on this since 2004. When I got blown up in Iraq, I had brain damage because it blew away the sheath that's on my nerves. So I went and did research and found out that they had studies going back over 100 years on methylene blue helping regrow the sheaths on your nerves and all the rest of it. Well, we've got the best methylene blue, and I just mixed the iodine with the methylene blue with this water. I'm going to drink this, and this is pure rocket fuel. So good for your body. Essential iodine with methylene blue together is amazing. Pretty scary looking, too. So, by the way, the new product is supposed to be available right now at thealphasensor.com is T3. It's X2 back even better at thealphasensor.com. So for all the fans that wanted it, everybody that wanted to get it, we have had it for over a year. It is back, reborn, like the Phoenix, even stronger. Exclusively available through our sponsor, theolivestonestore.com. But regardless, our methylene blue, our iodine is the best, and it does so many other things. Libido, stamina, energy. It skips the oxidation process in the cells. The methylene blue and iodine works very similarly, and they go together like a horse and carriage. Get them both now. There's also another big sale as well at thealexshowstore.com, and I thank you for your support.
You're tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello.
Welcome back to the American Journal. We're excited you're all on board with us right now. We open up the show by playing that press conference that was taking place over at the Pentagon earlier this morning. The Secretary of War, Mr. Pete Hegseth, spoke earlier about that. But most importantly, he spoke about the current status of the Supreme Leader. Let's take a listen to clip 13.
New so-called not-so-Supreme Leader is wounded and likely disfigured. He put out a statement yesterday, a weak one, actually. But there was no voice and there was no video. It was a written statement. He called for unity. Apparently killing tens of thousands of protesters is his kind of unity. Iran has plenty of cameras and plenty of voice recorders. Why a written statement? I think you know why. His father, dead. He's scared. He's injured. He's on the run, and he lacks legitimacy. It's a mess for them. Who's in charge? Iran may not even know.
All right. Joining me to discuss is Taylor Hatthorne. She is a national security fellow at Independent Women and an Iranian fellow at Hamblin Society and Public Interest Fellowship. And it's an honor to have Taylor back on the program again today. Taylor, love that you're here because, you know, there's a lot to dive into. I've been messaging you back and forth because the last time we had you on the program, we were warning our audience about the potential threats of cyber attacks and other attacks that could result in the United States and Israel striking Iran. And so far we've seen cyber attacks, but we've also seen domestic terror attacks here on the homeland. So I'll get to that in a little bit. But I wanted to get your take on what was said earlier today at the Pentagon by the Secretary of War, Pete Hegseth, when he announced that their new supreme leader apparently is so badly disfigured that it looks like he can't even provide his country with an audio version of his statement that in fact is in writing. What do you make of just that?
Before I get to that, I want to acknowledge the members we lost yesterday on the KC-135 that went down. Yeah. I have some people that I love very dearly that fly KC-135s and was very nervous all day yesterday about that, but just want to send up thoughts and prayers for their family of the four crewmen that we lost there. So pivoting now about your previous statement about what the Secretary of War stated, I mean, it's like with any regime or any country, right? Like, you want to create this illusion of stability. We had President Biden in that chair for 4 years, and he didn't know where he was the entire time, but you weren't going to see members of the Democrat Party sit there and say that he was anything less than sturdy and solid and completely with it. And now you're having people like Jake Tapper come out and say, well, we knew the entire time that wasn't the case. This is no different for the Iranian regime. They want all of their proxies and all of the people who they believe are fighting for them, fighting on their behalf, to believe that there is some kind of continuation of strength and leadership. The number one thing that you do not want to do if you are a terrorist is to show any kind of weakness and any kind of fear. And so if they don't have that continuity of leadership, you're going to see a lot of fissures happening, which is already happening in the IRGC throughout Iran and throughout the proxies throughout the world, too.
Yeah, and, you know, we heard from the president and we heard from Hegseth as well saying that they believe that we've wiped out the majority of their Navy. What do you think about the progress that's been made thus far?
I think it's great. And I think that anyone who's cheering against the failure of the United States, especially coming from our own country, should really reevaluate where their allegiances lie. You know, there is a strong argument to be made from the isolationist camp of why we shouldn't be over there. And those arguments I will hear and I will listen to and I will chew on. What I won't tolerate and what I don't think any American should tolerate is cheering for the failure of America or saying that you hope the president is lying about the destruction of a tyrannical and theocratic regime. I mean, we should all be able to get behind the fact that this regime is in shambles. We are severely depleting their capabilities, their physical capabilities, and truthfully, you know, their morale, too. You can see that just in the way that the cardboard cutout meme that went around the Internet last week about Khomeini's son, the new alleged leader of the Ayatollah's party. And so I think that we should be cheering for the success of the United States. And we should hope and believe that what the president and the secretary of war and all of the cabinet members are saying is true, because it's not just in the benefit of this current administration that what they are saying is true. It's in the benefit for the free world that what they are saying is true. Iran is the number one state sponsor of terrorism. And regardless, left, right, and center, you should be able to look at that and go, it is good that they are all dead.
Yeah, and Taylor, I kind of want to pivot a little bit because you brought up the topic at the open of this because we just got an update, unfortunately, from Central Command. And unfortunately, it looks like they were searching for the other two crew members on that flight. And unfortunately, they have just confirmed that those two are now deceased. It's absolutely devastating news. Now, again, we brought you guys this information at the top of the show. This sadly took place in Western Iraq. Again, the Pentagon saying that this wasn't friendly fire. This was an accident, it kind of appears to be. So we're waiting for more details there. But maybe you could walk us through, Taylor, because the KC-135 refueling aircraft, when I was actually flying with folks over at the Pentagon and covering Hegseth for a day. I was flying on their plane. I was told about the refueling that they do, and it was quite impressive. But it's very, very risky. And so if you could kind of walk us through what the refueling process of that is like when they are trying to do that midair, I think our audience would really appreciate that. Because we also, by the way, Central Command posted the photos, sadly, of what appears to be a refueling situation going on right now. Again, we don't know exactly if this was from what took place or if this was a little bit prior. But they were posting about the refueling process on X as well, and so was Reuters yesterday before this took place. So give us a little background on that.
Yeah, I mean, I'm obviously, you know, not a pilot, and I'm not a National Guard crewman or an air crewman, excuse me, but it really is. You can look up videos on YouTube. It's really harrowing. It takes a lot of precision and a lot of training to ensure that this is done correctly. These people, these pilots, these crewmen are the absolute best in the business. They are the best that our country has to offer. There have only been 13, I believe, the last tragic accident that happened with a KC-35 was in 2013 in Afghanistan, and someone can correct me on that. I might have Afghanistan or Iraq wrong, but it doesn't happen often. These planes, you know, are 50, 60 years old sometimes, and so they are an absolute workhorse. They are one of the prides of our Air Force. We are very proud of the refueling. It is what allows us to be able to do overseas operations that happen, you know, where these pilots that fly these, you know, F-35s and all of these other planes that can't stop, get to refuel midair and can continue their mission. And so, you know, our air crewmen are incredibly impressive at the work that they do, and they don't get enough credit, because most of the time nothing goes wrong. You know, things do not often go wrong, in these refueling missions because they are so precise and so good at what they do. And so, you know, I encourage the American public to just kind of sit tight and wait for the information to come out. I think you see a lot of information and conspiracies online about, you know, because this never happens, like they're not telling us something. And that could very well be true, but I really just encourage the American public to just wait and see. You can speculate, but wait for the facts, wait for the data, look at what your administration is telling you, dig into your own information, you know, dig into information and resources. But there's a lot of people who do this professionally, myself not included, who don't speculate about what's going on because they've lived it, they've experienced it, and they think what people are saying online is very, very silly. So just evaluate that when you're analyzing.
Yeah, yeah. And I want to keep digging into this because, you know, we've, since the last time you and I spoke, there's been now 4 terror attacks. I think that they're still investigating the motives, but it's quite clear that this is all related to Islam that's been going on lately. They've put out the quotes that were said. And, you know, the FBI in Virginia yesterday, by the way, you know, we highlighted it before you came on and joined us, but I was actually very proud of the information that they put out there, because sometimes they don't put all the information out there so quickly, and I have to rely on other reports and certain anonymous sources, and it's very difficult. But they did a great job yesterday delivering the facts of that shooting that took place at Old Dominion yesterday. I wanted to get your take on this, though, because while we had a conversation last time we spoke about sleeper cells, it does look like these were all independent acts and not exactly related to what we saw or what we were alluding to when it comes to the sleeper cells, but these are maybe independent individuals. The one in Michigan apparently was upset about strikes in Lebanon. That's where his family members were. And according to reports, the Daily Mail saying that he had family members there that were apparently killed in the Israeli strikes, and that just happened a couple of days ago, so that might have been a motive for him. But again, we're just learning from trickles of information being put out there. What do you think so far on the 4 terror attacks that we've seen getting carried out on U.S. soil? Because 3 of them are from naturalized citizens, I believe, and the other 2 in New York City were individuals whose families came from, I believe, Turkey and Afghanistan, but they themselves were U.S. citizens.
Yeah, I mean, I think you've got to look at this holistically. There's a large national conversation around, you know, denaturalization of people when they have, you know, agreed to commit acts of terror or plot against the United States. And I think it's something that we should really take seriously. I've had many conversations. I think you and I have talked about this. I actually grew up in the Middle East. You know, I have a really strong, love for my friends who are Muslim and who are really, really good people. And I've had a couple of conversations with them recently about how they feel, because I try to put myself in the shoes. If I saw like a white nationalist, you know, Christian group attacking people in this way throughout the country, would I struggle with calling it out? And I've had conversations with them about that, and they have all said definitively that they do not struggle calling this out, that this is wrong, and that they feel like this is not reflective of how they practice Islam, and that there is a major difference between how they feel they practice Islam and what radical extremism is and Islamism is. And I think what's really important is that the American people and those elected in Congress and those elected into our government official positions, like I believe the public attorney who covered the press conference yesterday, who would not say that it was ISIS related or it was radical Islam related. He was just talking about how we've got to stop extremism. Like, you have to be able to call these things out. You have to be able to call a spade, because this isn't a bunch of Christians walking around doing this and killing people. Like, this is in the name of a very specific ideology. And if we are afraid to call that out because we don't want to upset anyone, or we don't want to, you know, make it seem like we're talking about all Muslims throughout the United States and throughout the world, we're not going to be able to target this effectively. This is radical Islam. This is Islamism. This is something that should be called out, because it is a horrible, horrible thing that is practiced around the world. I mean, the marriage and rapes of young children, you know, the slavery of women. You know, this is something that people on the left should be able, it should be their rallying cry against. We should be able to call this out and say this is not acceptable to happen in our country. And the fact that we are allowing people who have connections to radical Islam groups into our country, if they're family members, like the guy at the synagogue in Michigan yesterday, you know, his family was Hezbollah. Like, why is that person allowed to get citizenship in the United States? You know, any of us who have ever had to, you know, get any kind of security clearance or background check, you've got to be able to identify your foreign contacts, right? And the people who have influence over your life, so that that investigation can be done. If that's done for the employees of our federal government, why is that not done in a citizenship process so thoroughly? And, you know, furthermore, I want to talk about just with the ODU attack that happened yesterday, the Biden administration's DOJ was the one who let him out significantly sooner than he should have been. My personal opinion is he shouldn't have been let out, period. If you plot to commit acts of terror and try to join a terrorist organization, whether you are an American citizen born here or naturalized, you should be rotting in jail for the rest of your life. There is no question about that, because you hate this country, and that is likely not going to change after an extended imprisonment process. But why was that guy allowed out, the Biden DOJ? And I think people should be looking at that very significantly.
Yeah, because the Trump administration back in 2017 recommended, the DOJ recommended, I believe 20 years. And so he was released early. And it just, again, and I'm so glad you brought it up, because we talked about it in the beginning of the show too. It's mind blowing to me that there's any type of argument that people like this have somehow redeemed themselves and they are good, like, to be able to be relieved. I don't even understand it. We're going to cover another story in California in a little bit too. The argument that these people can now be assimilated into regular life and just be put back into society is really jarring. I know he was on also supervised release as well. Obviously wasn't being supervised because it didn't work out. But again, that's concerning. And you also mentioned the failure of a lot of officials to refer to this as an Islamic terrorist attack. We were just listening live to Gretchen Whitmer in Michigan, and she refused to call it out. Obviously, she called it out for anti-Semitism. And of course, it's an attack on a synagogue, so it's very clear. And then she also was talking about the issues with the internet, for an example. She kept saying, you know, there's a lot of radical things that are pushed on the internet, but just fails to mention that the motive is here. And that's what's so concerning about all of this. And that's why I was proud of the FBI special agent yesterday who came out and said in Virginia, we know what did that. We know what the motive was here, and detailed that for the American people. Also detailed how he was subdued, which resulted, obviously, it was fatal. So the comparison of how certain people handle these types of terror attacks is pretty alarming in this country, because we should be transparent.
Yeah. And to make this, you know, like I was talking about with the Commonwealth attorney, I think his name is Rahman Fati. You know, he was talking about this being a gun issue.
Yeah.
How is this a gun issue? You know, I've owned guns my entire life, and I've never felt the need to go shoot up a synagogue or a classroom, right? Mm-hmm. And my friends who are Muslims who've lived in the United States, many of them go hunting and fishing, you know, with my brothers, and like hang out with them, and they're also gun owners. This is not about guns. This is about a radicalized ideology, and we have to be able to call that out. Mm-hmm. And the last thing that I really want to say about this, and I'm sure we'll talk about it too if we get further into cyber, but you know, during that same press conference, you had Senator Elise Slotkin come out and say, you got to fund DHS. Like, they are responsible for making sure that things like this don't happen in our country. Senator Slotkin yesterday voted to keep the government shut after she had posted about this synagogue attack on her Twitter and knew it had occurred and still voted to keep the government shut down. So it is incredibly hypocritical. Stop allowing your elected officials to lie to you and to lie in your face about what they believe, because this is not something she actually believes. She can get up there and stand in a press conference and say that she believes that there's a, you know, that this is incredibly important, that these DHS workers are essential workers, that TSA matters and CISA matters and, you know, all of the departments of Homeland Security, I guess with the exception of ICE, because they know it's been funded for the next three years. But she can get up there and say all of that and look good during a press conference, but vote on the floor to keep it shut after she knew it happened. We've got to start calling things like this out.
Yeah, and Taylor, I'm glad you mentioned that too, because that was my next point too, is the DHS shutdown. I mean, we're watching even the former Obama DHS secretary who played that clip is calling for them to reopen DHS. And I don't even know, Taylor, I'll let you kind of handle it from a national security standpoint. My suggestion is we have to shut TSA down at this point right now, and I wouldn't even allow commercial airlines. I'm a little bit on the radical side of this one, but mainly because this is a national security issue. We have a limited amount of TSA agents right now who are overworked. If they are showing up to work, they're not receiving a paycheck. So we're watching as I believe the last number was about 300 have now resigned. I think I saw that on Fox earlier this morning. And then on top of the people who are calling out, because they have to find another source of income. It's not fair to do to federal agencies. You could disagree with certain agencies, but the reality of it, it's not fair to do to the employees itself. How do we resolve this? Because I feel like, given the fact that we just saw four Islamic terror attacks taking place, we've heard from Sarah Adams, who's also said, you know, Al-Qaeda would love to do another aircraft terror attack as well. I mean, how do we make this industry safer, given the fact that we're in a shutdown right now?
Yeah, I mean, I think during the DOGE cuts that happened during the earlier part of the Trump administration coming into office for the second term, you heard all of these same senators talk about how this is, you know, attacking these workers is an injustice and they are the backbone of our society, you know, our society and how we function and, you know, and all of these important things. And they're going on and on and on about how you can't have these DOGE cuts. Yet they're allowing this same thing to happen, except they're in full control whether these people get paid. Paid or not. Like they are, the Democrats are allowing this to happen. They know that some Democrats have to vote along with the Republicans to reopen the government. They know this and they're doing it anyway. And mm-hmm. I think the sad part about the state that we are in as a nation is if you do see a plane go down, every single one of those senators is going to blame the Trump administration for Operation Epic Fury instead of really taking a hard look at why there was less manpower in place to ensure that these things, you know, were covered, that the TSA agents weren't overworked, the ones that were continuing to show up for work that could show up for work. The thing that I would say in a positive way about this is that these TSA agents, you know, go to FLETC training, right? They go to, which is the same school that they don't stay for as long and they don't have the same types of training, but they go to the same school as like the U.S. Marshals do, right? And so they all take an oath. They're law enforcement officers. They take an oath to serve this country and to serve our citizens. They're not, you know, just hired Joe Schmoes off the street. And so my hope is that, you know, they fall back on their training just in the same way that our United States military does during any kind of furlough or government shutdown, that you rely back on your training and the purpose that you are in. But I think it is incredibly unjust and unfair for us to continue to expect them to show up mm-hmm. and work and have the lives of hundreds of thousands of American citizens in their hands while they're having to worry about, is my power going to be off when I get home? Am I going to be behind on my mortgage again? You know, am I going to be able to put food on my table for my children? All because the Democrats are trying to do some kind of Chuck Schumer power play that's ultimately going to backlash and throw up in their face. Like, the American people are over this. Left, right, or center, we are tired of seeing this happen. What job other than the United States Congress can you go to work every day and be like, I don't want to do my job because I don't like my coworker. I don't want to do it because I don't like what my coworker thinks, feels, and believes. So I'm just going to sit this one out for a bit. It's ridiculous. And I mentor a lot of young students and I tell them all the time, you know, whenever I go speak at universities, it's like, it is important for you, even if you feel like your voice and your vote doesn't matter and your voice isn't heard, to get out there and vote anyway, because we are allowing people to sit in these seats in Congress and lie to our face with our tax dollars. I mean, you saw last week that the same people who voted to reveal what was in the Epstein file also voted against, like, making sure that we can't release the records of the sexual assaults that happened against congressmen and that happened from congressmen against their employees that you, the American taxpayer, are paying to cover up. And so it's just a very unserious body of people. And we've got to get back to a point where the serious ones that are in there who are doing a good job, we elevate those. We show that, you know, there's people like Representative Tim Burchett from my district in East Tennessee. He's a good friend of mine. Mm-hmm. That man is principled. He does what he says he's going to do. He votes the way that he says he's going to vote, and he talks directly to his constituents. And the American people have to get back to understanding that these people work for you. Make them work for you. Call them. Get involved in this process, because sitting back and being mad and saying, well, my vote doesn't matter anyway, is why we're in this position in the first place.
Yeah. And Taylor, I mean, we love Tim. He's by far the best. Every time I'm like, Congressman, he's like, call me Tim, ma'am. He is the most humble member of Congress, but also the most effective one. And he goes on both sides, and I'll talk to anyone just to keep the conversation flowing. And we really appreciate him on that. I want to get to this. We got about 2 minutes left, so I'll let you have the floor on the Stryker hacking. Now, they're saying it's a pro-Iranian group that was able to get into Stryker's database, it looks like. They've been able to obtain, this according to reports, some of the data that Stryker does have. Kind of break this down for us. Help us understand this, because the last time we had you on, we were talking about this potentially happening.
Yep. It's just another denial of service attack, right? So this Michigan-based medical company, medical device company, they have their employees put their software on their personal phones. And this group, Handala, came in, which is an Iranian-backed group, came in and wiped the data and wiped the phones of all of these folks, which means that their personal information, their personal banking accounts, their personal photos, their private photos, their information about their kids and the stuff that's in their notes app on their phones, you know, where we keep all of our passwords, has been accessed because of this. And so one of the things that, you know, Jay Johnson, the former DHS secretary under Obama, said this morning, and I don't know if you played this part of the clip, but he talked about the fact that, you know, DHS was funded or created in 2003 to make sure that any way that someone could get into this country illegally and do us harm, so land, sea, air, and cyber, were kind of protected and managed effectively by one agency. The problem is with cybersecurity is it is the one component of that land, sea, and air where the American public, including corporations, including the, you know, just general American public, has to play a role too, because you can't just, you know, expect the government to do the entire job for you. You can't, you know, you got to protect that too.
Yeah. Well, Taylor, you do a great job at detailing all this for us. We greatly appreciate your time as always. Taylor Hathorn, thank you for joining me. We appreciate your time today.
Thanks, Brianna.
Thank you. All right, folks, we're going to be taking your calls in the next hour of the show. 877-789-2539 is the number to call. If you want to join the program, again, 877-789-2539. I'll see you in a second.
So, CIA declassified documents last week, Operation Artichoke, to poison vaccines, food supply, and the water to dumb us down and make us controllable. Now new documents about ESP control, how we're really electrochemical systems, liquid crystals, and the pineal gland, and how most people have microscopic to actual large worm infestations, not just from cats, you name it, like Kennedy has one in his brain, and they didn't tell the public most cancer, breast cancer, brain cancer is worms. Ladies and gentlemen, you can look it up. Go to the UN's own website. They admit it. Over 2 billion people have cognitive disabilities because they do not have enough iodine. In the 20s, they found this. That's where it put in the salt. IQs went up about 20 points on average, 15, 20 points. Well, we have the very best atomic iodine in the world. Has been available in several years, ladies and gentlemen. But we have the original X2 back, but even stronger. Pure atomic. Atomic isn't radioactive. It means it's on the periodic table. It is absolutely pure. And I mix that with ultra methylene blue that is also on record good for your pineal gland and reversing the calcification, the rest of it. Well, we've got the best methylene blue. And I just mixed the iodine with the methylene blue with this water. I'm going to drink this, and this is pure rocket fuel. So good for your body. Essential iodine with methylene blue together is amazing. Pretty scary looking, too. So, by the way, the new product is supposed to be available right now at thealexshow.com is T3. It's X2 back even better at thealexshowstore.com. So for all the fans that wanted it, everybody that wanted to get it, we have had it for over a year. It is back, reborn, like the Phoenix, even stronger, exclusively available through our sponsor, thealexshowstore.com. But regardless, our methylene blue, our iodine is the best, and it does so many other things, libido, stamina, energy, and they go together like a horse and carriage. Get them both now. There's also another big sale as well at thealexshowstore.com, and I thank you for your support.
Welcome back to the American Journal. We're excited you're all here today joining us. We're taking your calls in the next hour. So 877-789-2539 is the number to call. Again, 877-789-2539 is the number to call into the program. We want to hear from you relevant to the topics we've discussed thus far throughout the show, of course. But I wanted to take a moment because Ken Paxton seemed to just dropped a new ad. And you guys know I'm a big Ken Paxton fan. But his ad is being described as a savage attack on John Cornyn. Take a listen to clip 15.
The senator didn't say who he intends to support, but he did double down on who he believes the Republican Party should not nominate, and that is former President Donald Trump.
Cornyn saying, I think President Trump's time has passed him by. And he adds, I don't think President Trump understands that when you run in a general election, you've got to appeal to voters beyond your base.
President Trump fed that fantasy by repeatedly claiming the election was stolen. The president's actions were reckless.
Do you believe that the president committed impeachable offenses?
I'm going to listen to the what's presented.
It is our responsibility to get to the bottom of what exactly happened due to Russian involvement in our election.
This question of whether there are any ties to the Trump campaign, that's a legitimate area of inquiry, and the committee's engaged in that. It's not a witch hunt.
It is a legitimate area of inquiry.
We simply do not take classified documents out of a secure facility. He's created a circumstance for himself, which is, I think, very, very serious. This one is basically something that he's admitted to of the material facts.
Ms. Monaco is a lifelong public servant. I believe she's well qualified to serve as Deputy Attorney General, and I plan to support her nomination.
I have a lot of admiration and respect for Director Mueller.
John Cornyn of Texas told CBS News he simply doesn't think Donald Trump can get elected president. Quite a statement from Senator Cornyn.
He won't be supporting former President Trump, and neither should other Republicans.
You believe the former president's time has passed?
I do.
While Cornyn fought Trump, Ken Paxton has always stood by the president.
He's done a terrific job for Texas and for our country.
Attorney General Ken Paxton, a really great attorney general.
I'm Ken Paxton.
All right, obviously, night and day. Do you want to keep pushing for this rhino to stay in the U.S. Senate, or do you want someone who's going to fight back? And this is what we tell you all about. You got to show up primary day. John Cornyn, and we played the clip for you with Allison, of course, tends to think that those who criticize his record of going against President Trump are somehow paid influencers. Well, are you a paid influencer? I mean, literally the proof that Cornyn has been an enemy of this administration is endless. Endless. He's not MAGA. He's not a supporter of President Trump. He stood in the way, actively stood in the way of President Trump's agenda, refusing to even confirm his picks. But John Cornyn, he has way too much power, way too much authority on the issue, and he's not worthy of it. So if you live in Texas, you better get ready, because that runoff race, it needs you. It needs you. Ken Paxton's the obvious and clear person who needs to be in D.C. I mean, it's an absolute mess. The fact that John Cornyn had to spend $100 million, I'll never get over that figure. I've never heard of such an insane amount of money to be spent on a primary that he didn't even win. He forced a runoff, and he only forced that runoff because someone, Wesley Hunt, decided to run on the ticket, even though there was not a damn piece of evidence that showed that Hunt ever had an opportunity or there was ever a chance that he had to win the primary or even get into the runoff. But my suspicions tell me that he was likely placed there to pull votes away from Ken Paxton. They know. They know Texans love Paxton. And they did whatever they possibly could do to get rid of people who, well, voters who might vote along the Paxton ticket. That's what's going on right now in our country, folks. All right, if you haven't done so already, head on over to thealexjonesstore.com. It's the March Mega Sale, and it's up to 40% off your favorite supplements. We're not stopping there with the discounts. Today only, you can get that T-shirt for $14.99, the one I keep talking about, the America 250 T-shirt. It's limited time edition. And it's 60% off, and it ends in just a few hours. So head on over right now, thealexjonesstore.com, and snag it before it's too late.
Gentlemen, you know the power of turmeric, but have you felt it? Have you tried the ultimate turmeric gummies? The delicious way to harness the ancient power of golden turmeric, supercharged with ginger root and black pepper for maximum impact. Each gummy delivers 125 milligrams of premium turmeric extract packed with curcumin, the clinically studied compound shown to support healthy inflammation response, ease everyday aches, and promote joint comfort so you can move through life with ease. We added real ginger root, trusted for centuries to calm digestion and soothe the stomach, plus a precise dose of black pepper extract with pepperine, proven to boost curcumin absorption by up to 2,000%. That means more of the good stuff actually gets where your body needs it. No capsules, no bitter aftertaste, just one tasty tropical-flavored gummy a day or two if you're feeling extra to help you feel lighter, looser, and more energized. Ultimate Turmeric Gummies, ancient wisdom meets modern science in the best-tasting form possible. Grab yours today and start feeling the ultimate difference in health with Ultimate Turmeric Gummies. Inflammation doesn't stand a chance. Get yours today at thealexjonesstore.com.
You're tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
All right, get off the third hour program by taking your calls. If you want to join the show, the number is 877-789-2539. That's 877-789-2539. That's the number you're going to call into if you want to join the hold. We'll be taking your calls throughout the third hour of the program. I want to make sure you saw this, though. First one up on my list of stories to tell you all about. This one has to do with the White House. The White House was not happy with ABC News, and it took them a while to respond to ABC News' report that there was a message that was pushed out by the FBI to local law enforcement agencies throughout California, which warned them about the Iranian sleeper cell threat. Now, the White House came out yesterday and they provided the public after this. I mean, I'd say it was unchecked for over 24 hours. The White House put out the exact email that was sent out to those agencies. And there was one key word missing in ABC's report. ABC forgot to use the word unverified. Unverified. So obviously that was pushed out there. And now you have the White House going after ABC. And I get the difference between a verified and unverified type of tip being pushed out there. But folks, I don't understand why they were so aggressive on this, probably because they don't want us talking about the sleeper cell threat. Caroline Leavitt putting out this morning after ABC News corrected their report, saying thank you to ABC News for issuing a correction. The problem, the original misleading story received 100 million views. And panicked people across the country. You know what panicked people across the country? The four Islamic terrorist attacks we saw play out over the last few days. You're not crazy for being in panic mode. This is the problem. They don't want to cause panic. Well, would you rather people be prepared than not prepared? See, the problem is you would have to say, okay, sleeper cells landed under the Biden regime. DHS only captured about 7.8% of those. So why would President Trump lead an attack in Iran when we haven't captured all of these toxic people who are here to just destroy us, kill us off? And if there is a sleeper cell that is activated, then obviously this would reflect negatively on the Biden administration, but also the left would use it and push it to go after the Trump administration for launching these attacks. And so I get it. But you can't really go after them. Okay, yeah, the main story got 10 million views and the correction received only 100,000. But you probably could have corrected it sooner, right? You probably could have jumped on the call with someone over at the FBI and said, hey, get me a copy of that email. Let me see it myself. And you could have stopped the story from going viral and probably 1 million, 2 million views. So the fault doesn't always just lie on the corporate media. And you have to be fair when you call it out. You can't just sit there and I can't. Obviously, I bashed them enough. You all know that. But you got to be fair. This is up to the comms team over at the White House, over at the FBI, for not going out there and putting out a statement immediately once that report came out. The Secretary of War, Pete Hegseth, also weighing in on the ABC News report in clip 12. Take a listen.
I'm Mary Margaret with Daily Wire. Thank you both for the update. ABC News has updated its story from yesterday, clarifying that the FBI report on Iran possibly striking California was unverified. I just want to ask you, what impact did that original reporting have on the public, and does Iran even have the ability to conduct such a strike? And then just really quickly on another note, what role did Vice President Vance play in counseling the president on this conflict? Can you speak to some of the media reporting suggesting that there is a division there?
That reporting on California obviously had no impact on us. Also, we're used to bad reporting. We're used to ill-informed reporting. And so it doesn't change how we operate, but we engage with it to prove that it's not true, as CENTCOM has done so well. Ultimately, I look at the reports on a daily basis of threat. Our interagency's all over it. My partners across government are all over, looking for indications and warnings, keeping the American people safe. There's a lot of things Iran has said it can do for a long time, thankfully, including engaging their proxies and getting them involved in the fight, which they haven't been able to do. So we're watching that very closely. And as far as the...
Yeah. I mean, obviously. But... Folks, I'm not going to put the push all over on ABC News. Yeah, they missed a word, unverified. I get it. That's a big word to miss out on. But the reality of it is you're not causing a big panic by telling Americans to be prepared for what might actually happen, telling law enforcement agencies to be prepared for what might actually happen. It's common sense. It's common sense. This one got me fired up this morning. Michael Knowles is asking Speaker Mike Johnson about the midterms. And in clip 8, Mike Johnson seems to, I guess he has to sell you on midterms as if Republicans are going to win by a landslide. But take a listen to this.
There are 237 days till the midterms, but who's counting? Typically, in an off year after a presidential election, especially if you win really big like we did last time, you face daunting odds.
Right.
The poll numbers seem to be getting worse. There seems to be a chasm between political reality on the economy, on foreign policy, and everything in between, and perception. Major chasm, widening chasm. How do we fix that in 237 days?
With a big dose of reality and with a clear message, and we're working on both of those things. The first ingredient is to have great candidates, and we recruited extraordinary people to go flip blue seats to red this cycle. And of course, our incumbents and all those who've been part of the big successes of the last year and a half almost as we go into the election cycle are going to be out talking about their record of success. It truly is promises made and promises kept. I've made the case that the first year of the Trump administration was arguably the most productive and successful in at least the modern era. I think one of the top five in the history of Congress, and I'm a student of all this, because of all the substance and the big things that we passed and got it signed into law. Now, there is an incredible media bias, as you know, and the mainstream media, the legacy media, every day literally repeats almost verbatim the talking points of Chuck Schumer and the Democrats, as crazy as they are, and they try to censor and silence our viewpoint in various ways, as you know. And so we've got to break through that and get the reality to the people. So it will be a lot of direct candidate-to-constituent discussion. They're going to be doing the candidate forums and the town halls and all that to go out and share our message. We gathered here at this work session. This conference over the last couple of days was to talk about how to do that effectively. So look, I'm very bullish about the midterms. I'm absolutely convinced we are going to win the midterms and grow the majority.
All right, let me step in on this because it's a word salad you don't want to hear. But the reality of it is Mike Johnson has midterms to sell you. And he's telling you, oh, we got these great candidates. What he's not telling you is nothing's changed. Nothing's changed. Nothing has changed. Nothing's changed. And so to sit here and to pretend like something's changed somehow, some way, no, we're not doing this. We're not going to sit here and pretend like the rally is all about these great candidates that you now place into these seats. It's not the case. it's not the case. The other thing Mike Johnson wants to tell the American people about, specifically Hispanic voters, is they're going to wrangle in those mass deportation promises that they made you. In clip 10, we played this for you early in the week. But I want to play it again because now it's starting to get some more momentum in regards to what's going on with the new rhetoric that's being spewed by House Republicans and Republicans all across the map. Take a listen to Mike Johnson and what he says here.
Future. We got a little hiccup with some of the Hispanic and Latino voters for certain because some of the immigration enforcement was viewed to be overzealous and, you know, everybody can describe it differently. But here's the good news. We're in a course correction mode right now. We're going to have a new Secretary of Homeland Security. Mark Wayne Mullen is going to be do a great job in that role. I'm sure that he'll be confirmed by the Senate. He's a thoughtful guy. He'll bring a thoughtful approach. You have somebody like Tom Homan, who has 40 years experience in the field and was decorated by former Democrat presidents for his acumen and expertise. And he went into Minneapolis and brought calm to the chaos there. That's what you're going to see. And
As you heard Speaker Johnson say, oh, it's just a little course correction. Because the first year deportations were so significant. There weren't that many deportations, folks. We are nowhere near Barack Obama numbers. And the reality of it is they have to now try to win the Hispanic vote. I mean, what are we doing here? What are we doing here? You won the White House. You won the House. You won the Senate on the promise that there was going to be mass deportations. And guess what? Now they're backing out of that. There was a report that just was dropped over at the National Pulse that we believe now that there's been about 19 million illegal aliens that were brought into the country. 19 million. Federation of American Immigration Reform is who is putting that number out there now. Now they're living amongst us. That's really exciting news. Really exciting news. And of course, the foreign-born population's booming. This is the American dream. 19 million illegals. And then we have an administration now that's trying to play nice because they deem that mass deportations isn't going well PR-wise. It's not going to go well for us in the major elections. You know, I'd say it's not going to go well for you making campaign promises and then not actually carrying through with those promises. In fact, I think you're going to piss off your base who's not going to show up to vote for you. We keep hearing, oh, the black pillars, the black pillars. Well, we're feeling a little black-pilled these days. You know why? Because there is a lack of commitment to the campaign promises that are laid out. We knew mass deportations were going to be sloppy. It was up to you to have a PR campaign in place to push back against the mainstream media. And the public pressure, there barely is any. Folks, it's all the corporate media and the deep state operatives, Democrats, they all operate on this fake outrage campaign to pretend like we're all outraged that mass deportations killed two liberals. The American people aren't going to settle for anything less. And this administration needs to get real with this. You promised us mass deportations. We're not going to sit there and show up on election day if you are unable to meet that commitment. It's not black pillars. It's Americans who's sitting at home right now wondering, what the hell have you done over these last few months? And they're comparing the numbers to those of Bill Clinton, Barack Obama, and they're saying, but you actually ran on this issue. No, now we only go after the illegal aliens that are criminals. Most of us actually think that all of them are criminals because they violated our immigration laws. But we have to wait for them to commit another crime when they're released into our country before we actually go after them. That's what's looking like it's going on right now. And so there's that. All right, let's get to some callers right now. Jay in Indiana is first on the line. Jay, welcome to the show.
Oh, I'm going to put on my... Sorry.
Hi, Jay.
One sec. How you doing? I'm actually in Kentucky now. You there?
Jay, yes, you're on the air. Come on, let's go.
Okay. I was thinking like, what's his name there? Archie Bunker says, put everyone on a plane, give everybody a weapon with one bullet. And this way here, if anyone wants to cause one bullet and he's facing 300 people sitting in their seats with a bullet. So that'll slow down any problems on the airlines and do away with the TSA.
I'm confused and I'm struggling to hear you. You're repeat what you just said.
Well, if everyone on an airplane was issued a weapon with one bullet,
I mean,
if anybody on the airplane gave a hard time to anyone, he's only got one bullet, but everyone on the airplane has a bullet, so they could kind of point their weapon at him and it would slow him down.
Thanks, Jay. I don't see that being safe. I mean, with all the videos of all the mentally ill people flying these days, I probably wouldn't want them to have a bullet at all. I wouldn't want them to have a gun on them, even if it's just one. There's too many mentally ill people flying these days on flights. Jay, thank you for joining us. Let's get to Nathan in Michigan. Nathan, welcome to the show.
Hey, good morning, Brianna. Can you hear me okay?
I can. Nathan, yes. Welcome to the show.
Hello. I got three things real quick I want to get. First of all, we're going to miss you. Enjoyed your professionalism and the great sources you have.
Thank you.
And I may call in again next week to tell you goodbye. Secondly, Iran is a... So everything is being focused on Iran right now. And one of the things that I keep thinking about is China. Why aren't we talking about that? Remember all those Chinese military age men that come in that basically look like they're in formation? Not to mention the Chinese balloon, not to mention UPenn, Biden, China, all these, and then not to mention the Chinese owned land everywhere. And there's the Red Green Alliance. Why don't we? I mean, I kind of feel like China's in our blind spot now, and I think that they're there to pounce as well. And I stay strapped everywhere I go, so I'm always alert to what's going on around me. And I don't think that I think we're being tunnel vision with Iran. And me personally, I'm not happy with the Iran deal going on right now. I feel like we haven't secured our own homeland before diving into this. We have so many illegals that came here that are unvetted that we don't know about. And not only that, how much of our we have depleted so much of our arms. Like everybody's like, oh, we got infinite arms. That's impossible. We don't have infinite missiles and stuff like that. So, I mean, I just feel like we're getting weakened by all of this and we're not paying attention to everything. And then thirdly, it's the voting. So X is a bubble compared to the real world. When I talk to people in the real world, they don't want to vote no more. They're so tired of being lied to. And I tell them, I'm like, hey, we got to vote. I understand your frustration. But people that aren't as in the know as we are, like paying attention to real world events and everything, they don't have that knowledge of we still have to vote. They have just been just beat down because they think that their votes don't count no more. They don't see Republicans are just a bunch of rhinos. I live here in Michigan and it's a joke. I mean, you've seen Gretchen Whitmer up there and Alyssa Slotkin. I mean, she won her race because of election fraud. There's no other way. She got her seat the day after the election was done. And it just, the Republicans don't follow through on anything. And I'm honestly, in my own opinion, I kind of feel like it is just they're trying to control the destruction of our country and they're looting us and they're taking our money. And I'm sorry, I'm not a person that hates Jews or Israel. I'm a Christian. Mm-hmm. And I see how Israel does control our government. And I don't care if it's Israel, Venezuela, Mexico, Germany, Asia, Russia, no foreign country should be controlling our policy. I am an American first. And do I support? I don't want bad things to happen, people. And that's where we get caught in this binary crap all the time. And I'm so tired of it. Like, oh, you're with the Muslims. Oh, you're with the Jews. And I listen to Alex talk, and I'm with him on that 100% because we can't have a legitimate conversation unless you want to get called names. And to me, that's just a low IQ argument. And I don't even want to waste my time with people like that. And so that's my piece today. And it's snowing here in Michigan and we're having a blizzard again. And I'm so tired of winter. So,
Nathan, I know I'm with you on that. Listen, I mean, I left New York because I couldn't stand the weather. So yes. And I get it. I mean, I agree with you. It's so frustrating to see, take place. And I don't like the, if you feel one way about an issue, they just assume that you're super on the other side of the issue. The push, if you're, you know, anti-Islam moving into your country, you somehow are siding with Israel. It's becoming too much. I think most Americans would agree with that, Nathan. It's turning a lot of people away from the political discussion too. And I think it creates more people who aren't very fond of Israel or aren't really fond of the Middle East, the Middle Eastern countries specifically, that are continuing to send their people to our country to invade what they call them refugees. So yeah, Nathan, I'm on board, and I think you're 1,000% correct. Good luck with the snow, though. Good luck with the snow. Let's turn to Tutu right now in Wisconsin. Tutu, welcome to the show.
Hey, how are you doing this morning, Brianna?
Good. How are you?
Oh, great, great. Happy Friday. Yeah, I wanted to talk about the Iran war.
Mm-hmm.
And Trump, President Trump. First of all, I think there's like, should take note that, you know, we've been back and forth in history every about 500 years, you know, between the Persian Empire, Arabic empires, and the Byzantine or the Romans. It seems like every 500 years it switches, you know, if you look back in the history books. And I think this is just another grand cycle of that, to kind of look behind the curtain. And with President Trump, it's like a look behind the curtain, kind of like Toto from The Wizard of Oz, on how these previous wars could have been fought. You know, we had the Iraq war, finding Saddam Hussein, you know, and then finding bin Laden with Obama, you know, took like 9 years and 6 years respectively. You know, Maduro and Khamenei were gotten in like 2 hours. You know, I wish these wars, I mean, the all wars were fought like this one, where it was a little quicker. Now, granted, we have AI nowadays and the tech is better, so maybe it just wasn't a possibility back then. But I think that deserves a notation with this current conflict slash war going on. And then regarding nuclear bombs in Iran, do you know who the Brianna, who the only person to drop a nuclear bomb is? Do you know anything about him?
Specifically, the individual is that what you're?
Yeah.
No.
It was President Truman.
Yeah.
He was the one who gave the order. And if you look into him, he's one of the only like. Well, we had a couple of them, actually,
mm-hmm.
Actually a bunch of them, a Masonic president. You know, George Washington was a Mason, Ben Franklin, and Truman was an open Mason. There's pictures on Google with him in the whole outfit. And he was the one who ordered the dropping of the atomic bomb. And there's been rumors that conspiracy theories, you know, that President Trump is a Mason, because there's been a couple times when he wore the apron at McDonald's, there was a ceremony at a school that was Masonic symbolism. When he went to Tokyo recently, to Japan, they welcomed him on the checkerboard floor. And I think it's a possibility, you know, if he is a Mason, that they're gutsy enough to use the atomic bomb, obviously, you know, to get their aims done. And like the Masons and the Jews have been fighting since ancient, pre-ancient history back and forth, and they're all intermingled. There's Jews that are in the Masons and Masons that are Jews and back and forth, and they tried to marry into each other. And this is all that stuff that Alex Jones has talked about for a long time, how it's not just one mafia. You know, it's a bunch of mafias, bunch of secret societies, not so secret anymore, but a bunch of secret societies in the mix and fighting over the same turf, Earth. You know, and I just wish there was a society for the masses of people that we could kind of be in the mix well. But, you know, it seems if we're all a part of the Hegelian dialectic, that we're just going to be divided and conquered, you know, or not really have a voice or wrapped up in their plans. But I don't want to get too much off topic. I was just wondering if you ever heard about that with the nuclear bomb being dropped by the Masons before.
Okay.
That rabbit hole.
Well, thank you. We're up against a hard commercial break, too. Thank you for that one. Not gone down that rabbit hole. There's a lot of rabbit holes I haven't gone down these days. But I appreciate you calling into the show, of course. Folks, we'll be going back to the lines in just a little bit. In the meantime, though, head on over right now to thealexjonesstore.com. Why? Well, because it's the March Mega Sale. So you get up to 40% off your favorite supplements for the time being. And also, we got a couple more hours left in that T-shirt sale, the America 250 T-shirts. Limited edition, $14.99 is the price. Again, that's going to go back up to $39.99 after this sale is over, which ends in about it's a couple of hours, maybe a little less than 12 hours. So head on over to thealexjonesstore.com right now and make sure you snag it before it's too late. We also have iodine at the shop as well. And if you're a VIP member, you get 50% off. That is a massive, massive discount. We're thankful for your support. of our efforts to bring out the truth, of course. So we're going to pass on a little bit of savings your way. If you're a VIP member, you get 50% off. If you're not a VIP member, though, we'll still give you 25% off right now over at theauctionstore.com.
CIA declassified documents last week, Operation Artichoke, to poison vaccines, food supply, and the water to dumb us down and make us controllable. Now new documents about ESP control, how we're really electrochemical systems, liquid crystals, and the pineal gland, and how most people have microscopic to actual large worm infestations, not just from cats, you name it, like Kennedy has one in his brain, and they didn't tell the public most cancer, breast cancer, brain cancer is worms. Now, this is all over the place. Joe Rogan talks about it, I have for years. But here it is, scientists and doctors figuring out now, the CIA knew in 62 that dewormers could reverse most cancers and didn't tell the public that's mass murder. Here it is.
My parasite medications work against cancer cells. And it turns out that the parasites use mitochondrial substrate level phosphorylation in the tissue. And these embendazole, fenbendazole kill these parasites. So I tried it on the cancer cell. And sure as hell, it targets the mitochondrial substrate and glycolysis. So we have a mechanism now why parasite medications are working. But cancer is not a parasite. All these people say, oh, cancer is a parasite. It's not a parasite. Parasites and tumors use a common metabolic pathway, and a drug that works against parasites can be very effective against cancer. And that's what we begin to see, especially under nutritional ketosis.
So to be clear, the anti-parasite drugs cut off the same mechanism in cancer, but we now know and have known that a lot of cancers from parasites, it's double good. And I don't sell that, but you can buy it online. And my medical doctor told me years ago, take this once a year as a regimen. I do. That's important information you might want to write down, folks, okay? All right. Ladies and gentlemen, you can look it up. Go to the UN's own website. They admit it. Over 2 million people have cognitive disabilities because they do not have enough iodine. In the 20s, they found this out, sort of put in the salt. IQs went up about 20 points on average, 15, 20 points. Well, we have the very best atomic iodine in the world. Has been available in several years, ladies and gentlemen. But we have the original X2 back, but even stronger, pure atomic. Atomic isn't radioactive. It means it's on a periodic table. It is absolutely pure. And I mix that with ultramethylene blue that is also on record good for your pineal gland and reversing the calcification, the rest of it. Your Doc Chambers on, medical doctor, special forces colonel, army colonel. And I said, what do you think methylene blue? He goes, I've been on it since 2004. When I got blown up in Iraq, I had brain damage because it blew away the sheath that's on my nerves. So I did research and found out that they had studies going back over 100 years on methylene blue helping regrow the sheaths on your nerves and all the rest of it. Well, we've got the best methylene blue, and I just mixed the iodine with the methylene blue with this water. I'm going to drink this, and this is pure rocket fuel. So good for your body. Essential iodine with methylene blue together is amazing. Pretty scary looking, too. So, by the way, the new product is supposed to be available right now at theauctionstore.com is T3. It's X2 back even better at theauctionstore.com. So for all the fans that wanted it, everybody that wanted to get it, we have had it for over a year. It is back, reborn, like the Phoenix, even stronger, exclusively available through our sponsor, theauctionstore.com. But regardless, our methylene blue, our iodine is the best, and it does so many other things. Libido, stamina, energy. It skips the oxidation process in the cells, the methylene blue. And iodine works very similarly, and they go together like a horse and carriage. Get them both now. There's also another big sale as well at thealexshowstore.com, and I thank you for your support.
Tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello.
Welcome back to the American Journal. We're excited you're all jumping on board with us today. Third hour of the program is halfway through. Time just flies when you're having fun. We just got an alert, though, that Scott Benson was doing an interview. That's the Treasury Secretary, and he was interrupted and told that the president wanted to meet with him in clip 16. Take a listen.
I listened to you on the...
The president wants you. Sorry, the president wants you.
Oh, okay. Okay. No problem at all. See you shortly, okay. Mr. Secretary.
You can work that in.
Mr. Secretary, I have to say, it's a first, I'm sure a last as well, that an interviewee's been pulled away to go to the Situation Room. How was the president? Was he stressed?
No, the president is in great spirits. The Iranian mission is proceeding well ahead of schedule. And, you know, I have to tell you, Wolf, that I've... Teenager who's considering military service, and I could give this team my highest compliment, from President Trump to the head of the Joint Chiefs to the Secretary of War. I would say that I would trust my child's life in their hands.
Interesting take there. I don't know. Did he seem a little shook? Can't really tell. Kind of talks a little strange. Let's get back to the call list. Sean in Colorado, welcome to the show.
Yeah, hi, Brian. Yeah, I'd like to talk about this this war a little bit, what it leads up to, because there's some specific things that I believe will happen that kind of lead up to biblical prophecy and all. I mean, pretty much the majority of the audience knows that this war is being led by Israel, right? This is not the interest of the United States, you know. This is all about Israel, and pretty soon all eyes are going to be on Israel here in the near future, because we are very close to Revelation. I just want people to pay attention to signs, because they're all here. This new border peace that's being created. I just want everybody to know that we can kind of see who's in charge at this point. We can make, I believe, accurate you know, interpretations of who we think the Antichrist could be at this point. And I believe, and I've been sounding off for quite a few years right now, being a caller, just trying to tell Alex Jones and everybody that the Antichrist is upon us. And I believe that man is none other than Jared Kushner himself, who's about to set up Trump, and that Trump is moments away from facing you know, possible death here, assassination. They just tried to kill him not too long ago, and I do believe they'll succeed. The Simpsons has an episode where they show it, and I believe that's going to be the setup plan. They want to destroy his legacy and blame him for the fall of this country when this world gets switched over to a new world order, and this whole board of peace and everything is something to look at, and who's running it. It's been Jared Kushner. He's been at the front line running the show for a while now. He's been put things in place like, you know, for example, 2016, he single-handedly got the Senate to pass a criminal justice bill that basically allowed all these criminals out for early release dates and everything, all these violent offenders. And people wonder, you know, when all that started. Well, that was single-handedly done by Kushner, and people just don't realize this guy's been just setting the stage the whole time, running the Abraham Accords, and, you know, he's got the right bloodline, he's at the right place at the right time, and I believe he's that guy. But people got to start looking for signs, like the two witnesses that are soon going to be coming. I believe they start the first 3.5 years of the tribulation, and if there's any rabbit hole you guys got to go down, get past the whole thing where, like, the Jews run everything, because, yes, they do, but what's deeper than that? It's the fallen angels. It's the devil and his fallen angels that are here running things, and the offspring of the fallen angels, the Nephilim, the Greys, the Draco reptilians, that's all real. So if you want to go down a rabbit hole, go down that and talk to guys like Steve Quayle that haven't been on the show for, like, 2+ years or so for a good reason, because he had a warning that he was coming out with, told Alex Jones, but he couldn't come back on the show to give the warning. So I'll just basically give it for him. The fallen ones are getting ready to reveal themselves. And people ought to go look up Steve Quayle, what he's doing lately, because, you know, he's being threatened at the highest levels. The people that have the truth and we'll show, you know, and we'll talk about the ETs, how people need to talk about them, not peaceful like Stephen Greer and all these guys are pushing the exact lie that's going to deceive humanity, that these ETs are peaceful and they're here to steer humanity in the right direction. That's the great lie, folks. So I'm here to urge, I'm warning you, if they're not talking how these fallen ones, these fallen entities are the offspring of the fallen angels, and they're just like, you know, pushing that they're good aliens or whatever, that is the lie. They are here to destroy us, enslave humanity, and deceive everyone's souls to hell. So trust in Christ now. Don't worship anything in some other image other than the image of Christ in man, our image. Don't worship anything.
Thank you, John. Thank you, Sean. No, Sean, we appreciate that. No, I'm with you on the Jared Kushner stuff. I'm not a real fan of Jared Kushner. And so when I see his fingerprints all over something, I'm just not in on it. So when we were talking about rebuilding Gaza and he's looking for investors, and I'm just like, oh, this just, it's so sticky. It's so sticky with him. Sean, thank you for calling in. We greatly appreciate your time. I want to keep the conversation going. And Jim in Montana, it's such a tough day for me. Tough morning. I'm not a morning person, guys. Jim, welcome to the show.
Since pre-9/11 and a supporter, and you are going to be sorely missed, my dear. You're a great journalist, and I wish you the best of luck.
Thank you, Jim. So, you know, it's crazy. I mean, I know everyone loves a good morning show. I will be helping Alex, though, with his next project, and we're going to work on that. So I won't be completely gone. It's just we're going to try to build up a news division, and that's something that Alex has really wanted to focus in on. So I'll be with him on that front, but not hosting the show every day. But thank you, Jim.
Yeah. So I wanted to kind of show you that the Senate is totally not for America. I honestly believe that. There's a bill. It's called No Tax Dollars for Terrorists.
Mm-hmm.
It's been sitting in the Senate, and they can't get it passed.
Yeah. Isn't that crazy? That's right. That's I believe is the Tim Burchett bill, right?
Yeah. It's $40 million a week we send to the Taliban in Afghanistan. That's just one.
Yeah.
The SAVE Act. We've had the Real ID Act stuffed down our throats. To get a Real ID, which is your driver's license, you have to show all the crap that they're saying. So with Fetterman saying, yeah, just put it, you have to have a real ID to vote. I'm good with that.
Yeah. No.
And the other thing is your last caller on Jared Kushner. I'm not a fan of his. The peace board, all the countries that are on it, you know who gives the most? $10 billion from the U.S.
Yeah, that was the
commitment. You know who gives the least? Israel. They give zero. I just don't get it. And I'm looking at Iran and the Gaza Strip. Seems kind of similar, doesn't it? Just bomb them into nothing and then just take them over.
Yeah, Jim, that's the crazy part, too, though, right? Because that was the reason why so many people who were against what happened in Gaza from going down. I mean, that was their big issue here is they were saying that this is just going to be used as a scheme to grab the land grab, and then they're going to push to rebuild Gaza as if it's some noble cause. But, I'd say it sounds like the same thing. I think the president even saying that Iran is going to be a new country once they get through with all of this. And so, obviously, that does set off the smoke alarms in my head, Jim.
And my last thing, the Palestinians, I'm not a Palestinian lover or anything, but they're sitting on, I believe it is 3 trillion cubic feet of natural gas that the Israelis have refused to let them tap into.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's just keeping them down, and then when they start to do the rebuild, all of a sudden you're going to see Israel with natural gas.
Yeah. Brianna, we'll see. see.
Thank you.
I think you're right. And thank you, my friend. I appreciate you calling into the show. It's great always to hear from you, of course. Folks, I just got an alert, and this one's going to be interesting. Apparently, Michael Cohen was on with Lara Trump, and he is saying that he's blacklisted from outlets like CNN and MSNBC. It's like their old name, now they're MS Now, whatever that means. But take a listen to this.
You kind of, I imagine at this point, must feel, with all the pressure you've gotten from the Democrats, I assume from the media, that you've kind of been used as a tool to some extent just to simply attack Donald Trump, but also to just promote a political viewpoint. Do you feel like that?
I do. In fact, something that I think both of us understand all too well, that public life, there are expectations placed upon you. And it's sad because political groups and these media outlets, these independent outlets as well, they it's not just that they hope, they demand that your voice reinforces the narrative that they already believe. You see, once your words are shaped by, you know, what one side wants to hear, the problem is you lose credibility. And the responsibility of anyone, like someone like yourself who has a television show, you have this podcast, you have a loud voice. The responsibility of someone speaking publicly is to remain independent of those pressures. And my approach to this is simple. I will always say what I believe. I will always say what I know to be accurate and truthful, even if it doesn't perfectly align with the expectations of either political party or the media outlet itself. I mean, basically, CNN, MS Now, they've both basically blacklisted me because they don't like the narrative that I'm portraying.
It is important to note that Daily Caller got comment from CNN, and they're saying that his allegations are completely false. He's not been blacklisted, but I mean, he is a prop. How did you not see it? It was right in front of your face, Michael Cohen. They were obviously utilizing you to spread whatever message they wanted to spread, to build the fire in the hearts of those who really despise President Trump. You were a tool. So now you're upset because you're no longer on cable news because they no longer need you? Come on. Come on. All right, let's get to our next caller. Bill, he runs the Loomer Fan Club, is online right now. Bill, welcome back.
Brianna, happy Friday.
Happy Friday, my friend. How's everything?
Wow, it's everything is really, it's a lot, isn't it? It's overwhelming. I know everybody's like looking at so much stuff. And I was going to touch on some things about you and Alex and the show and moving on, but some of the other callers already hit that. And we've got next week to worry about you, you know. So politics are fluid. Mm-hmm. Politics are fluid. That's what I was going to call because you're moving on. Went along with my topic that I've been wanting to call in about politics are fluid. And, you know, you have to get what you can get when you can get it. So, you know, I first learned about you. You kind of came out of nowhere in my world. And then here you are. Next thing you know, you're on InfoWars. And then I can call in. And activists, you know, we want to do something to move the needle a little bit or help move the needle. So I found an opportunity I can call in. Take back the words, blah, blah, blah. Politics are fluid. So you got to get what you can get, what you can get it. You know what I mean? And that's how it is. It helps people feel better about politics. Don't get so invested in any particular politician. Keep remembering, it's fluid. It's going to change. The Tea Party, MAGA, America First. This is just how it goes. Don't get worked up at times. Move on. But you just played Besant. Mm-hmm. And Besant is a big thing right now. That I hadn't heard him since he came back from getting called out. And that made me – you remember Bush when Andy Card came up, when Bush was reading the little book of the goats to the kids in the school, and his chief of staff, Andy Card, comes in his ear to Bush, 911. They just hit, blah, blah, blah. That's what – now when I put the pieces together on Besant – first off, somebody had to make a decision. Call him out or don't call him out of the hearing, of the interview. No, call. We have to call him out. This is so important. What is so important to call him out? And then let him go back. And here, you know, when you saw, you asked kind of flippantly, oh, is he upset? He was so upset. go watch that. I know people, and if you know Besant, he's a very sensitive person. You could see whatever he heard when somebody whispered in his ear, it was like, holy shit. And what's going on around Twitter, around that whole story, is people are looking at Netanyahu's last video that's up on X and everywhere, Netanyahu's last little speech, because they're wondering, is Netanyahu alive? They find six fingers. Then they're putting the timing of that possible AI video to Besant when he got called out of that
interview. Billy, you okay?
Yeah, I'm okay when he got called out of that interview. No, someone's trying to call me.
They're not important, Bill. We're important here.
They are. No, when he got called out of the interview, so you see where I'm going with this? Yeah. Whatever, what somebody made the decision, that was a big decision to pull him out of the interview. And then when he came back after hearing what you just played, he was totally blown, whatever he heard. So politics are fluid, you guys. Be cool. Be patient. Get what you can get when you can get it. Don't be worked up when things go sideways, because that's how they go. Mm-hmm. Positive. That's my positive message. And we will see you next week and for your last week. And I don't believe it, because Alex Jones always, I'm going to go away, I'm going to go away. But you know what? He never goes away. Alex Jones is always there. So.
I know. Well, it's crazy because, you know, Alex asked me to come on and help and fill in. And so we were doing that for a little bit, but I don't live in Austin. So, you know, heading back home. But it's been a pleasure, obviously, Bill, and I look forward to taking your call again next week, of course. For those of you that missed the announcement yesterday, both Alex and I spoke about how Infowars will likely be shut down on April 15th. Again, the dates itself change quite often. It's just because it's an ongoing legal battle. Obviously, Alex is continuing to challenge it. He's continuing to fight for Infowars. And so that does, you know, sometimes stretch out the time a little bit longer. So as of right now, he believes it will be closed by April 15th. And now, I'm going to be taking a little bit of a vacation in the meantime. So that means when I come back from vacation, there will be likely no show. So, you know, I will be departing as the host of the American Journal. And I think this show will be on hiatus for the most part. But I'm still working with Alex on another project. So don't think I'm going out anytime soon. We've got more to do. Bill, thank you, as always, for calling to the show. We greatly appreciate it, of course. I want to turn to our other buddy who's on hold right now, Mr. Andrew in New Jersey. Andrew, welcome back.
You don't live in Austin. That's why I saw on your Instagram you were freaked out by the scorpion.
Yes.
You had to travel.
Yes, that's crazy. It's very scary. It's still there.
Especially for us from Northeast, like we're not familiar with that. But we have bears, like people freak out when I tell them in New Jersey. There's like bears. One was over 700 pounds. But the last caller took my example of Bush when he kept reading the children's book.
Yeah.
But that could be staged, too. Like, if the interview gets too hard, just pretend you're being called out. But main reason I called, lastly, Jared Kushner, he's not going to put that on his resume that he's the Antichrist. But just want to say that with the attack on the Jewish school, and they would say, oh, you know, it's anti-Semitic or anti-Jewish, yet, and even the Jewish governor of Pennsylvania, yet, number one, I would say, aren't they anti-Semitic? Because they let in the Islamic jihadists that want to eliminate the Jews, and they don't even call it an Islamic terrorist attack. They say it was an anti-Semitic. But who committed the attack? So to me, that they're just aiding and abetting anti-Semitism. And to, you know, and it's disgusting, like we've talked about the politicians, you know, and the slip and fall defense lawyer, you know, that you would not call it out for what it is, because you're making political decisions. And even like a Jewish governor, you know, aren't you going to speak up about the, you know, immigration of, you know, unvetted or Islamic terrorists? You know, it's horrible. So in my view, listening to her press conference, she's actually aiding and abetting anti-Semitism. But thanks for the call.
Andrew, love to hear from you. Thank you for calling, as always. Yeah, I mean, she's a coward for not even mentioning that. It's obviously a very important factor in all of this, so I'm with you on that. Let's turn to Jason in North Carolina. Jason, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me on. I really appreciate it. Mm-hmm. I ask people, I like to say sometimes, what would have defined you as a conspiracy theorist in the past. And mm-hmm. I often ask people if they know what the national debt is, you know. And 20 years ago, it was about $3 trillion. And I'll ask people, hey, what's the debt? You know, what's the budget deficit? And they'll say something like, isn't it like $10 billion? And I'm like, well, no, it's $38.2 trillion. And Brianna, do you know what the interest was on the debt last year by any chance?
I'm going to look. Now that you're grilling me on this, though, so when I worked on Lou Dobbs' show, he always wanted the debt clock ready to go. And so we always had it ready to go. So I don't know off the top of my head. I'll let you answer that question. But this gives me Lou Dobbs vibes.
No. It's good. Because nobody knows, because they don't want you to know. The debt, the interest on the debt last year was $1.2 trillion. So that was the interest on the debt. Now, that's about a quarter of the federal tax revenue. So the other thing, if I would have said to you, Brianna, 20 years ago, in 20 years, we're going to be almost $40 trillion in debt with a yearly interest on the debt of $1.2 trillion. You would have said I was crazy. And I probably would have said the same thing. I wouldn't have believed me. I would have been like, that sounds like the most outlandish thing that I've ever heard, right? So now, I don't know if you've ever done this before, but a guy told me to do this, and I didn't believe him when he told me. But if you spend $500,000 a day, every day for 3,000 years, and you can do this on a calculator. You can put 500,000 into the calculator. You can multiply it times 365. So that's every day for a year. Then you multiply that times 3,000, which is 3,000 years. The number you get is around $500 billion. Brianna, sorry if I said that wrong. Yes. And to me, when I tell people that, it really puts it into perspective, because you spend $500,000 a day for 3,000 years, and you don't even get what the interest was on the debt last year. I mean, does that sound good to you?
Of course. No, it doesn't. It sounds like people setting up a future generation of Americans for absolute failure and the burden of having to figure out how to pay that off.
I'm gonna leave you with this question. Do you know what the world's reserve currency was before the U.S. dollar?
Do you know
what it was?
Nope. Tell me.
That's okay. Nope. It was the British pound. And they said, sound as a pound, for centuries it was the British pound.
Yeah.
And during the transition from the British pound to the U.S. dollar, it became official at the Bretton Woods Agreement after World War II. But the preparation for making it the U.S. reserve, the world's reserve currency, in the early 30s, that's when Roosevelt confiscated citizens' gold and doubled the price of gold overnight on the recommendations of the Bank of England. So, again, the real question is, why are we in Iran? You know, and I'll ask you this. This will be the last question I ask you. Do you think Iran was doing its oil deals in the U.S. dollar? Do you think they were?
No.
I don't think so either, because that is the reserve currency. If you're going to buy oil, you buy the dollar, and then you buy oil. And if you don't want to do that, well, then it's going to be bad for you. That's how it was for Libya with Gaddafi, with Saddam. They did not want to do their oil deals in dollars, in the U.S. dollar either. And unfortunately, this war is about enforcing the U.S.
Yes, Jason.
Dollar.
Yeah, no, it is. It is. And I think you're onto something there. Jason, thank you for calling in. We're up against the hard break because the show's about to wrap up. But I appreciate everyone who's called in. Sorry, we didn't get down the entire call list, but I greatly appreciate you guys all setting time aside. And we'll get to it again next week, of course. That does it for me on this edition of The American Journal. Alex is up next for The Alex Jones Show. So don't go anywhere. More to discuss. We're going to go somewhere, though. Head on over to thealexjonesstore.com because, again, it's the March Mega Sale and last day to get those $14.99 special edition T-shirts. Head on over to the shop right now and do just that.
InfoWars not delivered. In Gladiator, he chops up the first four guys when they throw him in the ring, or in the arena, and he says, "Are you not entertained?
Are you not entertained?" not detained.
Well, I would say to you, are you not satisfied? Have we not delivered in the fight against the globalists? You bet on the right horse, and I'm asking you to continue to bet on us as the info war continues on, regardless, as we refuse to submit to the tyrants. But the reason this is such a win-win or a non-zero-sum game or a 360 win, the term I coined over a decade ago, is because everybody participating supports freedom, supports the fight against tyrants, the fight for Team Humanity, against the globalist, and you get incredible products at the same time. So if you haven't tried Ultramethylene Blue or our bovine colostrum or our CMOS or our Shilajit, these are all incredible products available right now at thealexjonesstore.com. And if you're going to buy anything on the site, you should become a VIP for $30 a month, cancel any time for free, and instantly $40 is put in your account. The second you click in a VIP, when it reoccurs each month, instantly $40 goes in, so you make $10 to spend on top of the $30 you spend. Special deals, special offers, and with one click of your profile, you cancel anytime for free. So it's a very light commitment, and you get special deals on everything else. So anybody buying anything on thealexjonesstore.com should be a VIP, so make sure you do that. You have until the 17th of March to take advantage of the March mega sale at thealexjonesstore.com. This is one of the biggest sales of the year yet, up to 40% off store-wide, 25% off on the shirts, on the hats, 10% off on things like the collectible knives, and up to 40% off on supplements like Ultramethylene Blue. And the more you buy, the more you save. So take advantage of the March mega sale right now, running until the 17th at thealexjonesstore.com, and be the reason we'll always stay on the air. Again, I salute you and thank you. Take action now.